which is that COVID is, I know you all know, but a lot of people may not know what COVID is. That is a system whereby they're going to provide funding for states to be able to get access to vaccines.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Thursday, June 24th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Going to be a little bit of a shorter show today, but really important stuff to discuss, some very big moves that are happening. We're going to come right out of the gate today with the most important one, or one of the most important two things we'll talk about. Right out of the gate today, no preamble, we're jumping right into the Wall Street Journal and what was just discussed. And it's really telling. Not only is it really telling and it showing you, not only have they this entire time been well aware of all the things we've been saying and just chose to not say anything until now, but that it's suddenly becoming acceptable to discuss everything we've been saying for a year or more. And it's not just this topic. We've seen it every other one of them. We've seen every single part of this conversation slowly become acceptable in the mainstream discussion. Now, that could mean that that was the plan, or it could mean that we're having an effect. And I think it's the latter. I genuinely believe that the effort from the independent media is changing the direction of where they're going. I think they just, in combination with how clumsy this entire effort was, but clearly it's having an effect. And that's a powerful thing to realize. Like, this is a day of some good news to realize that we are changing their direction. The takeaway needs to be that we do not stop now. No matter, we just cannot let go because we are having an effect. So we need to keep pushing. And really the reality is we never should stop pushing, because once you do is when they begin to take back control or take things away from you they shouldn't be able to take away from you. You know, this is under the guise that your government is doing things for you. In reality, it's for them at your expense. But a lot to get into that we'll try to get into in a short period of time. The Wall Street Journal to start. We're going to talk about Biden and what he just said. We're going to touch on McAfee just a brief moment at the beginning, just because I'm sure people want to hear my thoughts on it. But then we're going to get into a couple things in regard to the vaccine, the door-to-door vaccine delivery, you know, this weird situation where it's like, we're here for your benefit and we're here to help you as we coercively knock on everybody's doors that haven't been vaccinated, which is really revealing that they know that you haven't been vaccinated. And how is that exactly? And of course, all the things about the mRNA discussion and how we are seeing admissions from the FDA and the CDC that these injections are not possible, maybe link, but are causing myocarditis, heart inflammation. Now, again, as I've been saying from the beginning, and I've never faltered on this, to what degree? Well, sure, we could debate that. Is it causing this? Can it cause this? Yes. Just like we said in the beginning, are the numbers around COVID-19 completely illusory and not accurate? Yes. To what degree? We can argue and discuss that. But we've always been aware of that this is a big, massive illusion because people are playing with statistics, lying with numbers, and much, much more than that. But let's start off with that that exact point in mind in regard to the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's a tweet. This is where I saw it from RFK Jr., the defender, always doing a great job on this topic and plenty of other health-related information. But he points out the op-ed from the Wall Street Journal. Two physicians, and real quick point, by the way, there's always been this. It's a really weak point, but people try to make it. When you try to, let's just say they love the Wall Street Journal, they're all for the COVID agenda, and you show them this, and they like the Wall Street Journal. Well, their first inclination is going to be like, well, that it must have. Oh, it's an opinion piece. So it's not really them. It's an opinion. It's, you know, some way to make it. If anything gets published in the Wall Street Journal, whether opinion, an advertisement, anything, that is the choice of the management and the editorial team. Period. So if in an opinion piece, it was still vetted and allowed by the editorial team. So therefore, it is still the Wall Street Journal. Just make sure people understand that. This is an important point. Now, it says two physicians and large clustering of side effects following COVID vaccines is concerning, and silence around these potential signals of harm reflects the politics surrounding COVID vaccines. Just a little excerpt of it. Now, I'm going to show you what we can see. I refuse to support these platforms. some of these you can actually maneuver around them and using like incognito windows, but Wall Street Journal's one that I can't figure how to get around it. But so you'll see that it's just blocked. You know, because that's what a lot of great, thriving journalistic outlets do, put paywalls in front of their content, you know. But it says, are COVID vaccines riskier than advertised? I mean, even the fact that that's being stated, like even if the article comes back around to be like, well, not exactly. The fact that it's even being posed as a question shows you how far we have changed the direction. I mean, this is a huge move. Because we are now putting into the discussion whether or not these are actually risky. Or dangerous or safe. That's been like no, I mean, it still is essentially just not allowed to be talked about, except when the mainstream starts leaking out. And then what do? Do you censor the Wall Street Journal? You see, I mean, obviously, if we were making this conversation and already have done exactly that and been censored for it, we would be censored, right? But here we are with the Wall Street Journal, and look at what they end up saying. One remarkable aspect, and these are two doctors, PhDs, one remarkable aspect of the COVID-19 pandemic has been how often unpopular scientific ideas, from the lab leak theory to the efficacy of masks, were initially dismissed, even ridiculed, only to resurface later in mainstream thinking. Like, I just love that that's being stated quite plainly in the first paragraph of the Wall Street Journal. I love it. There's plenty of people that could not stand that. All the screamers out there, the bleeders on Twitter, going, oh, you're so crazy and fake, and you guys are anti-science because they were told to say that. Now what do they think? Well, Wall Street Journal must be anti-science, right? Or something like that, because your mind is exploding, right? They have come back around to report exactly what we've always been saying. And even more so, they come back around with their absolutes and their complete lines in the sand, except over here, we've always been objective, considering both sides of the argument, saying that this seems to be the obvious reality, but look at the science, think for yourself. Look at the breadth of the science. But now we see them resurfacing and they're pointing this out, not just mass and the theory, the lab theory, but a lot of it. Differences of opinion, it says, have sometimes been rooted in disagreement over the underlying science, but the more common motivation has been political. So unequivocally stating that the reason, by and large, not all, but the more common motivation in this entire endeavor has been politics instead of science. That's exactly what that says. That's a pretty great thing to see, because that's the truth. Finally. Now, whether this is because it's meeting some agenda for whatever they're trying to accomplish, I don't trust the Wall Street Journal. Or it's because this is a way to release some steam because we are building it up because they're not winning with their agenda, right? That's what you call like a release valve, right? Just a little steam out so it's not going to explode, but you don't let it all out, right? You just let them think you're going to help. That's what Tucker is, in my opinion. Here's a little bit of help. Oh, he's on our side. Oh, he's pointing at what we've been screaming about for a year. No, we're going to win now, right? Those are usually people stuck in the two-party illusion. Now, it says another reversal in thinking may be imminent. Some scientists have raised concerns that the safety risks of COVID-19 vaccines have been underestimated. Uh-oh, did they just say that out loud? Uh-oh, you can't even whisper that in some circles of the mainstream media, right? But the politics of vaccination has relegated their concerns to the outskirts of scientific thinking for now. I mean, I was just baffled by this. Not because we don't agree with it, not because it's not completely accurate, but because it's just crazy to see it stated as we were like, days ago censored for exactly this conversation. It's just incredible to me. I mean, this is what I was thinking about today. Think about how truncated this timeline is. In the past, we would talk about things with 9/11, who knows? And years would go by. And then something we talked about. And even that was crazy. We're talking like days go by. Like, for instance, well, I mean, I'm going to jump ahead really quickly. This is just because I'm talking about this point. Where was it? Well, I'll get to it. I'm going to lose my place. This is the thing. So I'll get to this in a minute too, but we've already talked about the mRNA inventor, discussing this, the inventor of, you know, Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of these injections. We've reached out to him, try and get him on the show, but you know, Tucker gets more audience. So I get it, you know, go on Tucker. But the point is that once he goes on Tucker, suddenly it's all acceptable. And now we got it all over the mainstream media, right? The very thing, the literal exact thing, what even Dr. Malone, by the way, do you realize that the discussion I had about his points on LinkedIn, that video was censored by YouTube. And here we are staring at it on the mainstream media, right? I mean, it's just ridiculously pathetic. But it's crazy to see how fast that happens. And by the way, no way am I suggesting Malone or anybody else's. I'm just saying the mainstream media and the way they allow the flow of information. right? If I were him and trying to get this information out, I would try to get it to the largest audience possible. But see how fast that happens. Between days, suddenly it's now allowed and being written about while my video is still gone. While the entire of independent media is still censored, they still have their channels gone. Days before. You see what I'm saying? And they must know that's happening. So just very revealing. Historically, the safety of medications, including vaccines, is often not fully understood. Oh, I'd make sure I didn't... Well, that was the thing I had in my mind. Just, it's funny just to point out that, you know, they're telling you right here, some scientists, right? And I know this is a ridiculous point because it's really stupid to say that anti-science is, you know, everybody's anti-science on this side, you know, but that's the point. They're telling you that there are scientists who are scientific in mind, who are raising concerns about the safety of these injections, not some fringe YouTuber, right? Not some debunked scientist or doctor over there in the corner, but plenty of scientists, plenty of doctors, intelligent people with credentials, expertise, who are standing up and going, I don't feel good about these things. They look dangerous. And they're being attacked, dismissed. And this is the point. That's why we even have this happening right now, because it's so silly. Politics of vaccination has relegated the genuine concerns into the corner. Historically, the safety of medications, including vaccines, is often not fully understood until they deploy into large populations, which, guess what, is happening on you right now. Exactly. And they can say that quite plainly, so that means they knew that too. They knew that they wouldn't really get the full picture until they tested it on a big population, you. So they lied to you. It's pretty easy. Examples include plenty of ones they list off from the past. You know, and this one's Vioxx, which is interesting, one that was safe and effective by the FDA, right? We're good. And then it ended up causing increased risk of heart attack and stroke. Antidepressants, which basically across the board dramatically and still seem to increase suicide for the very thing that they claim to try to stop. And yet, they're all safe and effective, apparently. And an influenza vaccine used in 2009 and 10 swine flu, which we've talked about a million times, which caused convulsions, narcolepsy, right? We saw plenty of Guillain-Barré syndrome, tied with multiple, back in 76 as well. Evidence from the real world is valuable, it says, as clinical trials often enroll patients who aren't representative of the general population. Oh, weird. You mean exactly what independent media was pointing out about their fake trials where they were picking and choosing certain people from certain populations and making sure they didn't get the high-risk elderly and minorities and the people that got real sick after one shot just quietly disappear from the trial? We showed you all this stuff. This was gamed to make it look like the way they wanted to. Of course, don't forget, they also used used relative risk reduction instead of absolute risk reduction. Make sure you look that up if you didn't see my last show on that. This has been discussed by plenty of experts out there. They lied to you. They used relative risk reduction, so it made it look like it was 94% effective. When you used absolute risk reduction, which, by the way, is the accurate, real, full risk to you, it's about point something percent effective. And that's not a lie. Look it up. Speaking of that, seeing as how I have it, in regard to the injection specifically, or maybe not. Well, I'll make sure I grab that. There it is. Perfect. I do have it right here. Just want to bring this up. You know, this is, I try not to reference things without having it in general, but you can, this, I'll include this study for you. And that, look, this is from April 20th, 2021, right? Why wasn't that discussed, right? Because they don't care about the truth when it challenges the narrative. Their job is not to tell you truth. That's the illusion of the mainstream media. COVID-19 vaccine of efficacy and effectiveness, the elephant not in the room. Now, you can quickly go through here and see where they're talking about ARR, which is absolute risk reduction, versus relative risk reduction. And their whole point in this article is to say that's incorrect. And yes, with relative, you get 95%. But you come down here, you end up with absolute, you can see quite clearly you're talking about individual percentile. Now, there is a difference between the things, and it's not as... The bottom line is, read the article for yourself. I did a whole show on this. I'm getting pulled off on this right now. That's what I tend to do. But it's important to understand that this is a complete misrepresentation. Not an accident, right? This is like pretending that Fauci somehow mistakenly used a case fatality rate instead of infection fatality rate. Oops. Like, you know, like, oops, I'm a master expert. But somehow I used the most important mistake that I could possibly use to lie about how serious this was. Same here. They knew that this was wrong. They still do. They don't care. Right? This is the important reality. Going back to this, it says, Evidence from the real world is valuable, and clinical trials often enroll patients who aren't representative. We learn more about drug safety from real-world evidence and can adjust clinical recommendations to balance risk and benefits. Again, the real point being that you don't know the risks and benefits until you do that. So we don't know them now, which is what I've been saying from the beginning. How can we know the benefits outweigh the risks if we don't know the benefits or we don't know the risks? Pretty stupid. But it says the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS, which is administered by the CDC and the FDA. Uh-oh, all those people on Twitter, plug your ears. I thought it was a fringe conspiracy site, right? It's obviously been run and managed by these entities. And it says it's a database that allows Americans to document adverse events that happen after vaccinating, receiving of an injection. The FDA and the CDC state the database isn't designed to determine whether the events were caused by a vaccine, which we've always said. It's unverified. It's simply a database. But, as it says, this is true, but the data can nonetheless be evaluated, accounting for its strengths and weaknesses. And that is what the CDC and FDA say they do. I love that. I mean, this is even the Wall Street Journal. I mean, the article's clear. You could see pretty clearly. I mean, I went over other, the next one will show you where it goes into more depth from the Defender. But what it's saying is it's clearly that they're calling them out. That's what they say they do. And it's, but by the way, that's what I've been saying from the beginning, and even the Wall Street Journal's alluding to, there's no physical or they don't have the resources to manage or investigate all of the things that have been happening. This is a simple mathematical thing to look at. You're talking hundreds. I think we're over 500,000 of these reports. I'm just pulling off the top of my head, but we're talking hundreds of thousands of reports, and we're really, and some of them, a lot of them severe, 5,000 deaths at least. Just the 5,000 deaths. Are we really going to pretend that in this period of time, they've gone all around the country and gone through all the information? I've reported two of them on this show. There's two people that I personally verified, technically one through the Defender who interviewed the person, but verified that these people have yet to even have a contact from VAERS or the CDC, even though a family member died, and they report this after days or immediately and nothing. And yet here we are hearing people like Kyle Kulinski and people on the air saying they've checked them all and they're completely safe and effective and they've checked everyone and there's no deaths. Why? Well, because he was told that. They were told that. And they reported it because they trust authority. What about war? I thought you challenged war establishment. But now we trust them because COVID, right? Same people. Same people. But it's great to see that because they don't. And we don't. The full picture is used from VAERS in regard to the flu. They use that data to tell you the risks of flu, to say what we're seeing with the flu and other things. So why is it suddenly completely unusable when it comes to something that's very obviously more dangerous, where we have 20, 30% of the entire system right now taken up with COVID-19, even though it's been happening since the 90s? Staggering. Now here, the Defender titled, kudos to the Wall Street Journal editors for publishing the op-ed saying politics, not science, behind the failure to acknowledge COVID vaccine risks. Now I take that a step further in what they're really saying. Right? I mean, yes, that's what they're saying. But I think they're clearly pointing to a little bit more than just the failure to acknowledge the risks, right? It's if politics are driving the way that scientists are perceiving the reality of the world around them, we've always been, and that's the point, we've always been in a very bad, dangerous position. That's why we talk about captured agencies like the EPA, like the FDA, like the CDC, that literally do not care about your safety. And in fact, make benefit and profit and do things at the expense of your safety, which is just completely counterintuitive when you accept, you know, this is the thing, it's the illusion of what really is going on. It's like pretending the mainstream media is actually here to inform you and that it's shocking when they don't. Their job is to do what they're doing today. And when you realize that, things become a little more clear. But here's what it says. The editors of the Wall Street Journal published the op-ed by two physicians who said politics, not science, are behind the failure of the health officials and the media to fully inform the public about potential risks associated with these injections. Joseph A. And you can see, just to confirm that these are the people, Joseph and Harvey. You can see it's Joseph A. Ladapo, MD, PhD, Associate Professor of Medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine, and Harvey Reich, MD, PhD, Professor of Epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health. You know, a couple of fringe, weirdo, anti-science conspiracy theorists, right? Classic. Now, it's funny because, you know, it's the same thing they would do. I say that every time. Obviously, I'm trying to drill this into people's minds. It's ridiculous. People are being called conspiracy theorists, not by merit, but simply because of narrative. Doesn't matter what their credentials are, right? So these people are already being labeled conspiracy theorists on the Twitter sphere or anywhere else because they say things that people don't like. So again, as I always point out, therefore, you are not an expert based on merit or credentials. You're an expert based on narrative and the controlling elitist circles that dictate who is in that circle. period. Now, going forward, it says, the author said the large clustering of side effects following COVID vaccines is concerning, and the silence around these potential signals of harm reflects the politics surrounding COVID-19 vaccines. Pretty clear that they see it, and they're being silent. Now, by the way, we've already reported two different times of other doctors admitting that their circles were saying to them that we're being quiet. Now, we know it's a problem, but we can't speak up because we'll be attacked. They know that, right? And of course, that means they're kind of cowardly, in my opinion. You know, I mean, that's my opinion, who maybe they've got families and things and they can't risk their job. And, you know, there's always something. But that's a big deal. And to not stand up when you know people are being hurt, I mean, that violates your oath. That's your Hippocratic oath. But that's happening. I mean, look, realistically, that's happening. That's the majority of doctors in this country. Either they aren't smart enough to see around the narrative they're fed and blindly trust authority, which makes them not very bright anyway, or they're choosing to stay silent. I'm sure there's more options than that, but the reality is that's a lot. And we know that's happening. They're going, we're going to keep this quiet because we don't want to lose our job. Silence around these political, these potential signals, well, they're obvious signals of harm, reflect the politics surrounding this. They wrote, quote, stigmatizing such concerns is bad for scientific integrity and could harm patients. Could it? How about it already very, very clearly is, which is, you know, they're being careful with their words, obviously. It's very obvious that what they're doing is hurting people because they're allowing dangerous things to be given and that they know are dangerous because they don't want to be attacked or because they don't care. The serious adverse events reported by the vaccine adverse event reporting system, including low platelets, heart inflammation, deep vein thrombosis, and death, is likely, quote, only a fraction of the total number of adverse events, they said, which we know. I don't think I can remember off the top of my head what the Harvard document was. The HHS Harvard document. Was it HHS? No. Anyway, I have the, oh, maybe this is it. Hey, nice. I got it. Only reason I don't have these things pulled up half the time is because I don't intend to use them. And I just, you know, off the top of my head. But these are, I have a lot of these things pulled up off of the side. Now, the point is, then they say it's only a fraction for those that might not have seen this. This is what they're referring to. This is a document commissioned back in 2007 by the Health and Human Services in conjunction with the CDC to look into Bayer's, right? And this is Harvard and the Health and Human Services. And as we've shown before, what they clearly find, this is what they're referencing. And this is the only, this is the standard, right? There's no other, you know, countering data here. What they're telling you is not only are adverse events from drugs and vaccines common, which again, I always say is the literal opposite of what the media is telling you, but underreported. So we know they're common. Not just, I mean, common is an important word. That means they're common, right? They're always happening. And it says, although 25, well, then the main point was fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. That's important. So they're telling you that fewer than 1%. So what we're looking at right now is easy to times by 100. Now, that's not, you can't guarantee that's exactly accurate, but based on their own research, we can generally estimate that this is at least 100 times greater than it is right now, based on Harvard and Health and Human Services. And the important point to remember is they brought this information and said, look, this system doesn't work. We're clearly not getting everything we need. So let's make a, you know, kind of living system that pulls off death records and different information. And the CDC just dropped the ball, ran away. Del Bigtree did a whole big show on this. They stopped answering the phone. They didn't return calls or emails. And this is not, this, you're not even, it's like you're making up the story. It's so ridiculous, but that's what actually happened. And jump forward to today. The system that they all admitted was broken, it didn't work, or rather, my opinion, was designed to not be able to hold them accountable, was left in place, even though they admitted that it was not what they needed, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here we are. So they like the fact that it's 1%. They quietly put that in the distance in the rearview mirror and hope we wouldn't remember it's only 1%. So then they can look back and be like, oh, look, it's not that bad. That's my opinion. But why would, I mean, you tell me, why would they allow a system to be in place that did not grasp what was really going on? And once they know that, they then pretend that's not the case. Seems pretty damn dishonest to me. But it goes on to say the true number of cases is almost certainly higher. To a couple of medical doctor PhDs, right? You know why? Because they looked at the data. This tendency of underreporting is consistent with our clinical experience. You won't hear this on the mainstream media. The authors slammed the CDC and the FDA for ignoring the reported serious COVID vaccine side effects and said more researchers needed to understand the risks. They wrote, quote, analyses to confirm or dismiss these findings should be performed using large data sets of health insurance companies and healthcare organizations. Oh, you know what that sounds like? Exactly the system they were trying to build, the CDC ran screaming from. Exactly. The CDC and the FDA are surely aware of these data patterns, yet neither agency has acknowledged the trend. Now, don't forget, the CDC is the same group that we've talked about a million times. I just happen to see this because it's the one that I almost pulled up, where the HHS itself is calling out the CDC. U.S. data on influenza deaths is false and misleading, right? This is back in 2020. Calling it out, right? We also have the WHO calling them out, right? We've shown you this one before, where they're saying the same thing. I'm not going to read through them again today, but you can look at them if you want, where they're telling you health is more than influenza. And it's all basically in both pandemics of fear, the exaggerated claims of severe things. It was basically disease advocacy by health experts, you know, basically telling you that we know that CDC is running a scam here. They're lying about the data. They're combining pneumonia with flu, which, by the way, as it says here, acknowledges the difference between flu and pneumonia, yet, or associated flu, yet uses them interchangeably. Oh, weird. You mean like PIC, which is exactly what's happening today? And the HHS even called them out and said that was false and misleading, and yet now we're doing it today with COVID? Isn't that strange? All right, it's because we've all know this. The history is there. It's just about who you're willing to listen to today. The trend is obvious. They're aware of this. They know the reality, but the CDC, the FDA, all these groups are constantly lying. Don't forget about the spider group that we pointed out. Right? The spider group and the CDC back, probably a decade ago, that spoke up and said the CDC's captured, they're lying, they're doing things for politics, they're not doing, and they all got shuttled away and fired and quieted. Yeah, we've seen this. People have tried to warn us. Your government doesn't care about that, so they shuttled them away and told you to be quiet. And here we are today, right? The allowance of that ignorance is a good way to put it, is what led to the same thing happening. They're allowed to use the same combination that the HHS itself said was false and misleading today, because the people that pointed this out then were quietly put away, right? Oh, actually, let me keep that open so I can grab it at the end. Going forward, it says the authors acknowledge the risks of COVID vaccines in certain populations may outweigh the benefits. Right? If I could put on Twitter right now, the risks of COVID vaccines in certain populations may outweigh the benefits, I would be censored. It's not even a joke. Right now, we're watching people. I have an exact point. We'll get to it in a minute. We've talked about her name. I blank on the name all of a sudden. I'll get to it. But we've talked about her in the past. The woman from Nashville, in fact, who couldn't walk after the injection. Now, she's just barely starting to walk again. So it's at least some positive direction for her. But she had an interview with the mainstream media, ABC. She goes to post that interview with ABC on Facebook. They censor her. Her real story that happened to her, that she spoke with mainstream media about, they censor it. It's just unbelievable. But it says they acknowledge the risk of vaccines in certain populations, and it may outweigh the benefits. They also noted that no studies show people who have recovered from the virus benefit from getting vaccinated. Right, so make sure you understand what that says. These doctors, these PhDs, are saying there's no science that points to the fact that there's any benefit to people getting this after they've already had it. I showed you this. I showed you the scientific studies, multiple ones that said exactly that. In fact, said that there's also dangerous things that could happen after that. They don't care. Trust the science, right? They wrote, quote, the implication is that the risks of COVID-19 vaccine may outweigh the benefits for certain low-risk populations, such as children. Where have you heard that before? Young adults and people who have recovered from a COVID-19. Right. So the vast majority of the population. Yeah, but they don't want to say that out loud, do they? And while you would never know it from listening to the public health officials, they go on to say, not a single published study has demonstrated that patients with a prior infection benefit from COVID-19 vaccination. In fact, it's the opposite. When you can clearly see that their own scientific research is saying that they have antibodies, even the NIH, on their own website, possibly for the rest of your life after a natural infection, right? So, and then the study we showed you that says even uninfected people have shown to have antibody reactivity since before this started. That's the majority of the population, guys. That's why these doctors are speaking out. And you know what? When this finally, hopefully, tips in our direction and they finally start admitting it everywhere and they pretend like we were always the ones keeping people in danger and we flip the whole narrative somehow and nobody remembers that we were the ones talking about this from a year and a half ago, you know what? That's okay. As long as this stops. That's all we're here for. We're not here for the bells and whistles, right? We're here to, that's why I do a 4-hour show, right? Because it's about jamming it all out there for everybody to see. That's why. That's all we're here for. And that's why you guys support this channel, because we are for results and we're watching it happen. Now, it goes on to say that this isn't readily acknowledged by the CDC or Anthony Fauci is an indication of how deeply entangled pandemic politics is in science. In fact, I would argue the completely overtaken science. There is, I mean, politics has overtaken science in regard to mainstream. That's, but you have people like James Lyons Weiler, Denny Rancourt, and all these people online that are out there telling you, trying to tell you the truth. Michael Yeadon, you know, all these different people are coming out and saying, look, here's what, now I'm not saying everything they're all saying is accurate. I can't even think off the top of my head of anything they've said that I disagree with. I'd say maybe I'm not sold on certain things, but at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. The point is they are coming out and telling you things that put their careers at risk. They get them attacked, right? I mean, it's just incredible. And they're coming out in defense of you. And they're the ones being attacked and disparaged. And Fauci and these different people are showing you that that's the case, that they're more important. It's more important to them to fight for politics and agendas and, you know, nefarious type agendas, as it would seem, than to keep you safe. And by the way, that's the reality too, is it's not their, as much as they want you to think that, you know whose job it is to keep you safe? You. It's your job. It's your job to keep you and your family safe, not the government. Because if you think the government's going to keep you safe, then you're in for a shocking surprise when actual danger comes your way. Not some illusory pandemic threat, but with actual danger, right? Like, I always point this out about the police. It's such an illusion. When's the last time you actually had something happening to you and the police showed up and stopped that from happening? I'm sure it happens, but that's usually just by happenstance. They just happen to be in the area, right? In 90% of the time, in my opinion, they show up after the fact and take a report. Now, yeah, maybe they find some conclusion there, but the idea that we're here like protect and serve, that the police are here to keep you safe, it's the illusion of accountability that keeps some people from not committing crimes, right? The illusion that you may have, the cops will track you down and hold you accountable and say, maybe it'll happen. The reality is, you keep you safe, right? When that guy comes over to try to attack, rape, kidnap, whatever, the odds are the cops won't be there to save you. So you can save you with, you know, your right to own something to protect yourself with or any other way you've seen. But the reality is, if you think someone else will come to save the day, in most cases, that's not what's going to happen. It's called self-responsibility. Ladapo and Riche, the doctors warned that prioritizing politics over science in the wake of a pandemic could result in, widespread distrust in public health officials. Sorry, that ship has sailed long before COVID-19 came around, but their ham-fisted jamming in COVID-19 agenda has woken up more people than I think they were ready for. So here we are. Now I will include these extra studies in here, and let me grab these as well since I talked about them in the beginning. Because I should include these in the, and there's so many things I should include in the cheat sheet. I need to go back and go do all that. So many important documents like this that just tear apart the narrative. But bringing this over into the next part. Now, I'm starting with the Wall Street Journal part because I found that to be just so important to talk about. Get right out of the gate to show you that the narrative is falling apart and the people are seeing through it. Now, this may be slightly disjointed, but let's go over here for a moment into a couple different things, and we'll come back into COVID-19. Now, this is an important tweet that I wanted to share from Caitlin Johnstone that really shares the idea of we're talking about the illusion of all of this stuff, or COVID-19, I mean, politics, foreign policy. I mean, everything they are is an illusion. Their very essence, their profiles are illusions. They're putting on a show. They have entire teams that figure out what they should be writing to make sure you think they're a good old normal person with a family. All right, just a good old normal Joe out there with a family and a dog and doing the thing, you know, playing my guitar, and like that's how they want it. They're desperate to make you think they're not this elitist culture that has no idea what your life is like. Right? So as she says, U.S. politicians always have Twitter bios like father of Kelly, husband of Leanne, in parentheses, she's the real boss. Ha ha ha. Right? Very amateur shower singer. Instead of things like rapist of Syria, murderer of Yemeni children, destroyer of your children's environmental future, right? Like the reality, in fact. And somebody perfectly pulls this up. Here's Secretary Blinken. Husband, dad, very amateur guitarist. I mean, that's literally what she was pointing out. How ridiculous is that? What is the point of, so first of all, very amateur guitarist is ridiculous because, I mean, obviously, you're putting this in because you want to see, you're trying to normalize yourself. Look at me. I'm just a guy with a guitar. That's an effort. And it's clumsy and pretty obvious, right? I mean, you're it's bad. Why do they do that? Because they want you to think they're normal people. Now, why would a normal person go out of their way to make you think that they're normal people? Think about that. And Twitter be like, we'll allow war criminals, but we draw the line at you tweeting bad words. Right? That's just so stupid. But this is a great idea. The point is, everything about this is illusory. And these politicians are desperate to get you to think that. Biden wants you to think he's the old grandpa on your side, right? None of them are like that. That's the reality. Bringing us over into the McAfee discussion quite quickly, I wanted to share this and the idea that, you know, there's so much going on around all of this. And I think it's very telling that we see these moves happening now, whether it's just arresting him or anything else, when this is somebody who arguably claims to have a lot of information on a lot of powerful people. So when this first happened, well, first of all, it's a good time to share this if you'd like to watch the John McAfee interview. I think I said McAfee. I always say different. 2020 campaign on exposing the broken system, empowering the individual. Now, remember, he was running for 2020 for president. It was sort of a joke, but not really. I mean, if he won, he was going to take it. But the point was he was going to win and change everything, you know, dismantle everything, right? That was kind of the idea. And so it's worth watching because it's quite interesting. There's a lot of things that are discussed that seem to, you know, I mean, at the very least, clearly shows that he's not the person they're making out to be. You know, somebody who is suicidal, somebody who might take his own life. But as I said, when this first came out, before it was even talked about suicide, found dead in a prison cell after approved the extradition to the United States. I just said, clearly, this is becoming a pattern. Well, it already was. Hashtag, who are actually the bad guys? Here is a tweet he put out where it says, getting subtle messages, and this is on November 30th, subtle messages from U.S. officials saying, in effect, we're coming for you, McAfee. We're going to kill yourself. Think about that. It's very interesting to see that exact discussion, right? I got a tattoo today just in case. If I suicide myself, I didn't. I was whacked. Check my right arm. He tattooed himself literally with whacked. Now, you know, doesn't necessarily prove anything, not, you know, but there's, you know, suddenly then jumping to yesterday anyway. Oh, he hung himself apparently. So the story goes, right? And even their preliminary was like, yeah, it looks like he killed himself. Now let's be clear. Just because he said he didn't do it doesn't mean he didn't do it. Or like, you know, beforehand, like I won't do this. Cause who knows what happened to him after that? Who knows what torturous hell they put him through intentionally or whatever, right? Personally, I'm very skeptical about this. I do not believe this is what happened. But I really, that's just pure intent, instinct. I have no reason to think that other than certain things that I've seen before. Actually, let me show you this one first. Like this, June 16th. He says, the U.S. believes I have hidden crypto. I wish I did it. I wish I did, but it has dissolved through the many hands of Team McAfee. Your belief is not required. And my remaining assets are all seized. This is June 16th. It's very recently. And my remaining assets have been seized. My friends evaporated through fear of association. I have nothing, yet I regret nothing. So it's a little bit morose, right? So all I'm pointing out is, you know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that this could have been a man that did get to the point where that wants to happen or where he would want to take his own life. That's, I'm just pointing out that we shouldn't jump the gun. But again, I want to be very clear. I really do not think that this is what this person just, I mean, look at the life he's lived. Look at the, how, I mean, people can be a lot of bluster and not really live out what they claim. But based on the way I've seen him live his life, I personally don't think this is something that this person would do. And here's Spiro, very timely, right, saying, let me just say publicly, I would never commit suicide. I just said, well, I second that, right? I am not suicidal. And I care too much about you all to just up and leave you alone with all these maniacal sociopaths, right? I'm in this till the wheels fall off. So too was John McAfee. And I really believe that, guys. I mean, the reality is he put out a lot of tweets of saying, you know, that I have a lot of information. I have dead man switches. I have information more than Epstein, you know, a lot of stuff. Now, who knows if it was accurate? Arguably, we should have already seen some sort of dead man switch. Right, there's people in his life that were there. They're still, you know, his wife Janice, I believe. You know, I mean, who knows? So I would argue we would have seen something, but who knows what the timing is. So we should keep our eyes open. But the fact that we're staring at things like Epstein and now McAfee, and it just weird arrests and then hangings in a place where they're not supposed to be able to do that. How about the fact that we're talking about somebody in a secure position? See, apparently it's pretty easy to just kill yourself in a secure location where that's not supposed to be possible, right? I mean, it's just very, very weird, isn't it? Oh, it just in, guys. Let's see. Hold on a second here. According to an unnamed U.S. government official, TLAB has now confirmed that McAfee was murdered by the government. Oh, we also just confirmed, according to an unnamed U.S. government official, that these injections are actually very deadly for you. I'm just kidding, by the way. I just felt like I would be the mainstream media there for a second and just say things that I want you to think and say unnamed U.S. official, right? Isn't that what they do? Too bad we're not on YouTube anymore, at least mainly because they would censor us just for making that joke. Anyway, I just thought that was, I just saw that today and I was laughing again. Every single time you listen to them about something foreign policy related or anything for that matter that's internationally related, they're unnamed U.S. official says, it's like, good God, how pathetic is that? Right? I mean, everything you want to know, it's like, oh, insider U.S. official says, or unnamed intelligence report. It's just stupid, right? I mean, because I could do the same thing. How would you ever know? Unnamed official says, or unnamed sources, my anonymous source says, same thing. Pretty silly, isn't it? But this is where we are, where we see people like this. I mean, what was his crime exactly, right? Cryptocurrency? Sidestepping the establishment economy? Yeah, who knows? Maybe there's more to it than we know. At the end of the day, people are being criminalized for being anti-establishment today, which is what Whitney's written about, which is important to understand. Might as well bring that up just because it seems relevant to this topic, and then we'll jump to the next one. Here's Whitney's latest article, which I really, you know, it bothers me how misrepresented this is getting, because people it's two-party illusionists, as always, in this case, predominantly the right, who seem to just scream, you're ridiculous. This is only going to be used against white people and people on the right. And it's like, God darn it, you're missing the point here. That is the illusion, right? That is what's being used to keep you thinking it's your neighbor that's the problem, right? That it's the other side. No, they're using that. So you're all labeled terrorists, right? Who is a terrorist in Biden's America? Anybody who challenges the government. That's where we are right now, right? That's what we're talking about right here. That's the sad part. But do your own due diligence. Come to your own conclusions, guys. Let's bring it over into the alarming nature of the government that probably has had a hand in something we're talking about today. Biden reminds gun owners that the government has nuclear weapons, because that's not completely alarming and weird at all. Now, Biden was clearly struggling. I don't even know if he realized what he said or if that was part of his speech, but the guy was struggling. Half of the speech was him monotonely, very quietly, without even blinking, just reading what it said on the screen and barely saying it correctly. I'll show you a couple examples. But why this is so relevant is because it basically confirms what every gun enthusiast, Second Amendment supporter, I mean, what all the conspiracy theorists have said. Like when I jokingly said this to Whitney. After we saw this, I said, every conspiracy theorist ever said, you know, whatever, like basically exactly what we've always been saying. Like the idea that this is, you know, something that we're supposed to, like the misrepresentation of the Second Amendment is a constant for this government. It's very clear, pretty unequivocal, but they want it to seem like something that it's not. The idea is that this is there for a tyrannical government, right? And whether you agree with this or not, it doesn't change that that's the reality, right? That's the point. I'm not even inserting my opinion here. The reality of this is that it's there for exactly what happened that founded this country, overthrowing a tyrannical government, right? And they put it in there. So if that happens, if they become destructive to their own ends, right? Meaning the things they claim they're fighting for you, if they become destructive to those things, freedom, liberty, well, then we have the right to abolish that government. It's pretty damn obvious. Well, that's not exactly the Second Amendment. We're talking about the government part of it, but talking about the Second Amendment specifically, or this part I'm talking about anyway, the Second Amendment, we're talking about the part in regard to a well-armed militia, because it's talking about the same concept and why that would be needed, right? And it's very clear, the right to bear arms. So what we're talking about is the fact that a government, whether nuclear weapons or not, becomes authoritarian, becomes tyrannical. Whether you agree with it or not, the Constitution lays it out pretty clearly that you get the right to push back against that. So the idea that he's saying, well, we have nuclear weapons, it pretty much confirms the fear of exactly why they say they have that right. I just find that hilarious. But I just had this to trigger the conversation. Let me just actually go over to his what he's stating here, and I'll play this first part for you, and then I have a couple comments. You know what? Let me just grab it here for you. That way I can remember it easier. Or maybe I didn't pull it. Was that just that clip? Here, let me see if this is loud enough for you.
Selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them. And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was to people who aren't legally allowed.
I'll grab it real quick. It's funny. It seems sometimes the YouTube volume thing is pretty interesting. It seems different when I'm live, I should say. So let me grab this really quickly. What we're gonna play for you is a speech essentially about gun control. Gun restrictions, right? And it's interesting, but the way that, I mean, a lot of people have been making fun of the way that this went down, how he's just been kind of blundering all of these discussions around gun control. It's very telling. And now this gets into some very insulting things, like to Americans in general. You should be insulted by the things that he said here.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. It's good to be here with you and with local elected and community leaders.
Our 1048.
And hopefully under people who aren't legally allowed to own background checks.
So he's going to say people who aren't legally allowed to own them. Now understand, again, that's ridiculous. Because what we're talking about is the fact that it's enshrined in your Constitution that you have the right to bear arms. Not what kind of arms. Very clearly. Now, again, that's regardless of whether you agree with that sentiment. It's very clear.
I have thus far kept more than 3 million guns out of the hands of felons, convicted felons, fugitive, domestic abusers, and others prohibited from being able to purchase a gun. And there's still too many loopholes in that system.
Now, even right there in regard to people, like, let's say a criminal, let's say a felony or a felon, right? Their argument is, well, if you're a felon, you can't have a gun. Now, maybe people, again, opinion aside, you may agree with that. You may think, why would we want a felon to have a gun? But you see, this in and of itself is a good example. Now, I understand, my opinion's not even on the table here. Just speaking legally, right? I mean, you're talking about something where they have a constitutional right to have a handgun. Or a gun in general, or bear arms, let's just put it, be specific. Then the government passes a law that says that's not allowed for certain people. Well, based on the Supreme Court ruling, that is repugnant to the Constitution. Therefore, it's null and void. But you see, we've gone so far past that, where the government's passing things that are plainly unconstitutional. I just saw something in, was it Chicago? It might not be Chicago, but I just saw a big city, maybe it's Philadelphia, one of these big cities that just got, a judge just ruled that their massive surveillance program was wildly unconstitutional, so they had to stop, right? So this is the problem, is that your governments are the ones doing the things that challenge the Constitution. And it takes judges, few and far between, to remember that their job is to only uphold the Constitution, right? So it's just incredible that we're even in a position where you're arguing that the government is the very entity that's been slowly dissolving your rights. It's really interesting.
And today, enough rogue gun dealers feel like they can get away with selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them. And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun.
From the day it was passed, right. Like it was a law that wasn't, you know, like it's, I genuinely wonder if he right there is aware of what he's talking about, right? But he's wrong. What he says right here is completely and very clear. Who did I just see today? I think Jack Posobiec put out something on Twitter today. Very clearly showed you, here's the exact law about why he's wrong. There was not limitations. There wasn't some outline afterward that said, except these ones can't be given, right? That's not true. What happened was eventually your government put those limitations in place. And when they were put in place, therefore, it was very clearly repugnant to the Constitution, therefore it is null and void. I got to bring up that Supreme Court. It was Mulberry and something. It's a Supreme Court ruling from, I think, 1895. We're supposed to have a precedent-based system, right? Well, that's a precedent, clearly. And they just don't care. But listen to what he says.
What type of gun dealers feel like they can get away with selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them? And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun. What type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of the
point was the cannon, not true. And I was laughing because Jack Posobiec put it out there and showed pretty clearly that not only was that not true, that there was, you know, the militias and the side, I forget the term he used, that did well up until not even far, far past. And even today, there's a very clear statement in the U.S., in the government, in U.S. law that says quite clearly that cannons are, you can't have a cannon. Why? Because they're considered antiques. So he's wrong. He's wrong in the beginning, and he's wrong even now. But see, the point is, who cares about the truth? It's about whatever sounds good in the narrative, because the people that are on his side, they don't care. They're going to look at it. They're going to think, well, if that's the case, then it shouldn't be, because cannons are dangerous. It's like, okay, well, you just went from saying that that's accurate to, well, we don't care if it's not accurate. It shouldn't be the case anyway. So you don't. The truth was never even a factor there. It's about your opinion, right? So he's wrong. Not the first time. Wrong like all the rest of the presidents, Trump and Obama included.
The blood of patriots, you know. And
all. Oh, yeah, this is the part.
The type of people.
This is insulting. Not only does he not know how the statement goes, a very, very quintessentially classic historical American concept, but he just kind of fumbles through it and then wildly misrepresents it. Listen.
You could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government.
What was that? Did you fumble there a bit, bud? Yeah, the blood of patriots and tyrants is how that goes in regard to watering the tree of liberty, right? Like in regard to the analogy being that it needs to be watered with both patriots and tyrants. Really, I guess it amounts to patriots fighting the tyrants, and that is what refreshes the tree of liberty, right? I mean, this is the concept. This has been something, and it's interesting to me that he can't even understand what it is. Can't even say it properly, but then comes to the point to where he's basically saying, I apologize for the stream seemingly breaking here for a second. There we go. So basically saying, though, that it's about you trying to take over the government, right? That is not even close to what that, I mean, there's statements in different points of the Constitution and different U.S. documents in the past that argue that, yes, that is something we have the right. But in this case, what that's talking about is this country fighting tyrants to maintain liberty, right? And he doesn't want to say that because he's very aware that the world and the Americans at this point see them as tyrants. So that's just kind of move past that. Well, no, it's not. It's not about the tyrants and it's not about the patriots and their blood. That's not what it's about.
Cannon. Those who say the blood of the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability.
Look at that. I mean, it's just incredible to me. But so what he's saying is basically very confusing.
And what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons.
What's happened is it's never been, if you wanted, it's going to have to
take on the government.
Take on the government.
You need F-15s and maybe.
You need F-15s. Okay, so what happened is, a bunch of rambling. If you want to take on the government, you need these things. That's not even a coherent thought, right? He just kind of jumped over into you're going to get killed by bombs and stuff if you try to take us on, right? So it's not. So think about the transition there. The tree of liberty is not watered with the blood of patriots, right? What happened is, if you want to take on the government, you need big weapons. So obviously that's just wildly disjointed. But he's basically saying that you'll be killed. So it's not water. So the idea of the very founding of this country, he's challenging. And I don't even think he understands that. It's all about selling you now on the idea that anybody trying to fight for freedom, or more specifically pointing out that this government is challenging that, is the hindrance to that. Well, now you're a terrorist. That's the thing we showed you before, the Whitney's article, the new domestic war on terrorism discussion. And here he is basically undermining the entire concept of how this country was founded.
Some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
That's not true.
Last time we had
simply not true. That what he said would argue that the moment the Second Amendment was signed, or excuse me, that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were signed, that this would then that included limitations. He said always. It's not true.
Data on this issue.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to Kevin. Marbury versus Madison. Thank you for that. I'm going to try to grab. I want to keep this going. I'll grab it while it's playing. I want to include that.
Purchasing guns was more than 20 years ago. 5% of gun dealers, turns out, in the study we did, showed that 90% of illegal guns were found at the crime scenes sold by 5% of gun dealers.
Did you catch that? That's the last part. I'm not sure if he understood or if he said it wrong, or maybe I misunderstand it. 90% of all the illegal guns found on crime scenes come from 5% of gun owners or gun sellers. So does that not seem to suggest that only 5% are selling the vast majority of illegal guns? Well, that's exactly what he said. So why is that a big crazy problem if only 5% and the 95% of them aren't? Right? I mean, he either made a mistake there or he just admitted that we don't have a problem.
The point is that there's always been the ability to limit the type of weapon that can be owned. The issue of who is purchasing guns was more than 20 years ago. 5% of gun dealers, turns out, in the study we did, showed that 90% of illegal guns were found at the crime scenes sold by 5% of gun dealers.
That's pretty clear. So only 5% of them are selling 90% of the problem. I don't understand how that makes an international issue, right? You see, they're just lying with numbers. They want you to think we have a big deal problem. Now, we're going to get into the next issue that is the illusion that they're selling you and how that's really tied to COVID-19 restrictions on you.
Percent, so 90% of the guns found at crime scenes. And these merchants of death are breaking the law for profit. They're selling guns that are killing innocent people.
Merchants of death, right? Is that what all of your military contractors are? Merchants of death? Well, yeah, they actually are. But what's funny is they're all fighting for freedom. But the guy selling guns to you, which is literally your right, you know, freedom, are now merchants of death, right? Even though they're selling them to you for your protection. But the guns they sell to the military are actively killing people for agendas and politics. But they're the merchants of death over here selling you a gun for your protection based on your constitutional right. That's not an agenda at all, right? Well, let's jump over to 20 minutes really quickly, and I'll get the last point here.
Time to turn our backs on law enforcement or our communities. Fourth, we discussed the need to support community violence intervention.
The point here is just to watch. This man is not okay. That's not a political thing. I don't care who it is, Trump or anybody. This person is struggling. This person is not understanding what I think he's even reading.
Our local programs that utilize trusted messengers, community members and leaders to work directly with people who are most likely to commit gun crimes or become victims of gun crimes. We know who they are.
Oh, that was also an interesting point, too. He just basically just said, and this is an interesting tie into the idea that they know somehow that you're unvaccinated, right? That he just said, we know who you are. We know who is at risk of committing these things. We know who is at risk of being attacked by them, right? So one side is protection, but the other side is saying, we're profiling you. Now, sure, in some cases, if the people are criminals and they have clear track records, even then I'm arguing you shouldn't assume they're going to be a criminal again. But the point is simply this, that they're telling you that we know who you are. We know who that just we shouldn't be even for one moment balking at the idea that they are actively profiling every single person they can. And they said, we know you have a gun. You have a gun. You did this. You look dangerous. We're watching. That's what he just said.
They intervene before it's too late, these interrupters.
Oh, right. And they're talking about these interrupters, right? So they use that profiling to then act before things happen. Oh, yeah. That's called pre-crime.
Turn down the temperature. Halt the cycle of retaliation. Connect people to social services. And programs have shown a reduction in violence up to 60% in many places. We heard from two community leaders that do this work. Eddie, thank you for coming from Chicago. You were really, quite frankly, it was impressive, your presentation. And Devon Bogan from Richmond, California. Eddie was formerly incarcerated for gun homicide, and Duval lost his brother to gun violence. And Eddie worked as a violence interrupter. Now he runs a program that provides high-risk men with cognitive behavioral therapy to help them react to the impulses by slowing down rather than following through on the violence. It puts them in paid jobs to change their trajectory. The program has reduced shootings by 40%. Devon runs a program across.
I thought you just said 60, by the way, but whatever.
Across California and six other states that enroll high-risk individuals in peace fellowships, complete with intensive mentoring and social services. It's saving lives. In Sacramento, for example, 91% of the participants stayed away from gun violence. States and cities.
Well, I recommend you watch through this more. You can see the whole picture. Just my impression right there. And the only reason I say this is because I have watched my late grandfather and different people go through similar degeneration. And I've seen people with Alzheimer's and different problems like this. And it's very clear that this person is, if he did not have, and you've seen it, this is why his people don't want him to answer questions. This is why he has a teleprompter and notes and cheat cards and all of it. Without the teleprompter, this guy would be, I don't think he'd be able to get through an entire speech. The fact that he's stumbling on words, it's clear he doesn't even know the names he's about to say. He can't even pronounce them. He's reading the way he's reading, it's very like he's just reading word to word, right? My opinion, but we've all seen this develop. This is the person being put out there, but is he the person actually making decisions? It's a valid question to ask, but we should be asking it most definitely. Now, going over into the next part of this, here, their argument. Well, this is basically what he comes out. Well, just the guy comes out and basically says, we've seen an increase in violence, gun violence from 2020 to 2021, and we're all in danger, right? Despite the fact that you can easily look up and see that the gun violence in general, crime in general, had been consistently decreasing all the way up until 2019. That was what I kept showing you before 2020 and saying, isn't it strange the media keeps screaming about how we're getting worse and dangerous and more gun and more problems and more attacks, even though every year it's getting better? Yeah, maybe because they know that fear sells and they always do that, right? But the point is, it was going down. And then suddenly, 2020, we saw, at least we're told anyway, a dramatic increase in violence and in violent crime specifically. Now, remind me here, guys, what else was happening during 2020? Oh, that's right. A massive, complete uprooting of our entire society, which, didn't have any effects, did it? Didn't have any psychological effects or any kind of domestic effects. None of that, right? Not like that could lead to an increase in crime in and of itself. Of course not, right? You see, nobody in the mainstream is willing to point this out. But guess what? How much you want to bet in 6 months, it'll suddenly come back out and we'll be like, breaking news. This thing that Ryan said 6 months ago and we censored him for. Pretty classic. But here is New York Times, murder rate remains elevated as new crime reporting system begins. Oh, weird. It also coincided with a brand new system of reporting that crime? Doesn't that seem interestingly relevant? Sort of like when they created a new system to report the COVID information and suddenly things all jumped and really got really high for a minute. Isn't that insane? It's interesting, right? But here's what it says. On Monday, the FBI released, and this is on March 16th, 2021, On Monday, the FBI released preliminary statistics showing a major increase in murder last year, with a 25% rise in agencies that reported quarterly data. Okay, so you have a new system. You have a 25% increase in simply agencies reporting that data. Okay, so how about those two things by themselves could create an increase, okay? Then it says the FBI did not receive data from several cities with known big increases in murder, like Chicago, New York, and New Orleans. So they're telling you that we have a big increase and we didn't even get information from some of the three largest murder capitals? Okay, that doesn't make any sense. But cities of all sizes reported increases greater than 20%. So we don't even have the full picture. We don't even know fully. We have a new system. We have an increase in people reporting that data. So that is a guaranteed increase. If you got 25% more agencies reporting quarterly data, you're going to get more information. So maybe that's always been there and it hasn't been reported. That's one possibility. And then the new system has a new tweak on how it gets reported. And suddenly this new category gets included in there. And then you go, right? It's not hard to see how these numbers can be manipulated. Now, putting all that aside, all these possible caveats to whether just assuming we're in this situation, or just adding to that the possibility that's all completely lies, that's always a possibility. But putting all of that aside, what else was happening in 2020? COVID-19 illusion. Now, look at the overall curve here, which, but I mean, look, yes, you could argue that, oh my gosh, we had this big jump, but really, it's not that much bigger between 15 and 14 and 6. Oh, I guess that's 2 years. Okay, so either way, we're talking about a jump that you can argue is a bigger jump than we've seen through 1 year. Okay, but it's quite a bit lower than it was in 1990, much lower than it was in 1980. So we see a massive decrease, right? As I was saying, pretty much generally decreasing all the way down to 2019. And then you see this big jump. So I don't see what the irrational concern is, other than it's an easy thing to use to justify your gun control efforts, your gun restriction efforts, your constitutionally unconstitutional actions, I should say. Because it's not, I mean, what, we should have been screaming, but I mean, our argument is, well, we're all in danger, but we did, we got it down, and now it's jumping. But add on everything we know that happened. We have people that are, we have a rise in domestic violence. We have a rise in actual psychological problems. We have a rise in all sorts of things. So if we, is it not possible also that we have an incidence of deaths being misassociated as violent crime? Sort of like we see death being misassociated as literally anything else they want to manipulate? Now, going to the next point, this makes it even more clear. Here is on January 6th, you know, before they were screaming about the epidemic that apparently, you know, wasn't being at least used yet to argue that gun, like, you know, the funny thing is, if you understand what the crime is they're talking about, I think it says it right here. All right, it was the other one. In any case, we're talking about violent crime specifically, which includes what you might consider, you know, rape, murder, assault, something with an attack, right? Well, what's weird is they even now include, and this is the point, threats of violence. This is what's included. So do you want to ask the question about maybe this new kind of hate speech mentality, and they've included the threats of violent crime, and that's increased the number? Maybe. I can almost promise that. But the point is, I was going to say something else there that I just lost. I've rattled off on the other one. But anyway, massive one-year rise in homicide rates collided with the pandemic in 2020. January 6th. So here he is before they're using this to justify the gun actions. Here's what he says. Last year, an alarming increase in homicides left communities, often in lockdowns, reeling as officials searched for answers. It says, quote, according to Mayor Bill de Blasio, it's clearly related in part to the coronavirus. Well, that Biden didn't say that. And to the fact that people are cooped up, he said. So here is a U.S. politician, in fact, on Biden's side in the illusion of the two-party system, and telling you that people are cooped up, and that's at least in part why they're murdering each other, right? That's what he's saying. He's the rise in murder. That's what we're talking about. Homicide is at least in part clearly related to the coronavirus and the fact they're cooped up. And it's certainly related to the fact that the criminal justice system is on pause, and that's causing a lot of problems. So does any of that have to do with anything other than the fact that your government locked down your entire life? Clearly it doesn't, in my opinion, based on how what everything we're seeing, and even Bill de Blasio calling that out. Final national murder update of 2020. Murder up 36%, right? Because of what we're doing. Now, how disingenuous is it for them to argue that it's because of gun crime and just because we're violent and segueing over into white supremacy and racism? That's what this is becoming. But they're happily telling you before they wanted to use it, right? It's an easy scapegoat to say, well, it's because crime and you guys are bad people. And as the Babylon Bee puts it, quote, you'll never beat the government with just guns, says party that also believes government was also toppled by unarmed mob on January 6th. Right. Right. So you'll need nukes to get us, except we screamed about a guy in a hat that walked through the Capitol. Right. I mean, it's a joke the way that they try to frame this stuff, but this is all about driving the same agenda. right? I mean, the classic concept in history is that people are disarmed first before actions like we're about to see take place, because they know that people will stand up for themselves. Why? Because it's outlined in the Constitution. Now, be clear, I am never, nor am I now, advocating for violence. That's just not what I believe in. But the Constitution makes it clear that that is something that is your right based on certain circumstances. Now, that's up to people to decide on their own. I do not advocate for violence, and I do not want it to happen. But the fact that they're trying to remove your rights from you under a guise of things that are clearly related to what their actions were is just wrong, dishonest, unconstitutional. But you know this by now. Which brings us over into the lie we were pointing out before, or excuse me, the misrepresentation of this truth, the lie around this. And this is about the mRNA inventor. Now, it's just the reason I'm even pointing this out is because it's, again, frustrating how this is just now being talked about. As I said, interesting how it's suddenly real and acceptable for the mainstream media to report this discussion now that Tucker Carlson pointed it out. Exactly what the independent media has been reporting for weeks now and being censored for. Me specifically, this discussion. And this is what he's talking about. The government is not being transparent about the risks. Exactly what we were already hearing. Just like the Wall Street Journal article. Inventor of mRNA vaccine says people should not be forced to take experimental COVID vaccines. The guy who made this technology is telling you it's experimental and it's dangerous. Risks aren't known, and under 18s are those who've had virus shouldn't take it. Of course, he told Tucker Carlson that there isn't enough risk. Now, I'm not faulting him for going on Fox News. What I'm faulting is the fact that the media is meek and feeble and cowardly, and they will not talk about this unless they're given the go-ahead, unless it's squeaked out by somebody in the mainstream sphere, instead of realizing that the scientific research is there and just, I don't know, actually being journalists for once. Nope. Not today, which makes me question why this is being reported in Tucker Carlson's show and whether that's actually honest or it was allowed to happen. Or here's another one, for that matter. Guess what? This is as of yesterday. Lawmakers seek probe of possible Wuhan super spreader event in October 2019. You know what that is? The World Military Games in Wuhan. Are you serious? Like, this is, I feel like Spiro, of all people, should be flipping out. He was one of the first people, in my opinion, to, like, really dive into this. This is an obvious part of the story. Now, of course, they're going to research this about if China did something, of course, completely omitting the reality that the U.S. government is far more likely to have been the super spreader in this event based on all the data around this, stemming back to the leaks from Fort Detrick that happened months before this all started, to the two clusters, one being called cold, the other one being called vaping, both of which had ground glass opacity symptoms, which, by the way, 67% of COVID patients have, according to their narrative, and yet they all just said, nope, nothing here, nothing to see here, and shut down the lab and said national security. It's all this is clear. Even somebody from Japan, I pointed out in the beginning, pointed to these things and said, that looks like COVID, and they all shut it down and never talked about it again. Then you see the events that led right up into the World Military Games, which the U.S. military was wide. Like, every year they do the games, they're screaming about how great they are on the media, on social media. That year, guess what? Nothing. Weirdly silent on social media. And then guess what else? They all weirdly settled very low. Usually they're in the upper echelons, number one, number two, because they're the best military in the world, right? Some reason that year they all were settling really low. Maybe they were sick. Who knows what's going on? The point is, there is very clear evidence of U.S. military personnel being sick there, being in the market, all of it, right? The point is, that's not going to be discussed in this, because this is a one-sided narrative. It's about saying China bad guy, which in reality, it's in fact China and U.S. bad guy. That's the reality. But the point in the major point we're getting to is that this is being talked about now, even though nothing's changed. The information's been there from the beginning. So why now is this suddenly worthy of investigation? Well, because now it's allowed to be talked about. I mean, as much as it's irritating that this is a lot of people don't see that this was talked about first by the independent media, there's got to be a level of frustration and embarrassment from whoever's the social engineers out there who go, gosh darn it, like it's obvious to some people that we're the ones that are putting out the narrative they've talked about. Now, here is the point on this is essentially talking about the fact that these are all narratives that they don't want you knowing until they want you knowing them. And that's why we see this happening everywhere. China, the United States, they're all a bunch of censor-happy authoritarians. Biden calls Apple Daily closure, sad day for media freedom. God, how stupid is that? How hypocritical is that? They just don't care because, like I said, the people that believe in what they're, that trust Biden, they don't care about the other side of it. They don't care that the U.S. Department of Justice on the 22nd just shut down Press TV and a whole bunch of other websites, right? I mean, how dumb and embarrassing and hypocritical is that? Here's Press TV right now. He's by the United States government. Yes, it is a domain in the United States, but it's an Iranian TV channel. You know what I mean? And it's just incredible. And they've censored them. Now, people, of course, that want to believe that Biden's the good guy or that the U.S. government good guy are going to say, oh, but those are terrorists because they're terrorists and they said they're terrorists. So that's OK. But so the government can just name someone terrorist and then censor them. And that's OK for you. Apparently it is today. Right? So that's the same thing here. So why China is saying, well, here, this is information, disinformation, bad guy stuff. So we've censored it. And Biden says, no, that's free speech and you're bad. And you reverse the situation. And Biden says, no, these are bad guy terrorists. And China says, no, you're censoring and that's bad. Guess what? They're both censoring and both sides are bad. And if we step out of the illusion of the two-party system, it becomes quite clear. Iranian Islamic radio or Press TV, these are just outlets that are reporting information. And sure, they have a spin like anybody does. No more so than the U.S. government. Kataib Hezbollah, we're talking about Lebanon and political groups. Yemen, the Houthis. I mean, these are political groups that they're misrepresenting. In any case, the point is that they're hypocrites. And they're all part of this problem. And until we see that, we're all going to continue to be stuck. And we will continue to allow this kind of thing to happen as we roll more into the COVID-19 discussion. Door-to-door COVID-19 vaccinations, as we showed you the other day, available. Now, understand, this is not just telling you about stuff. This is literal vaccinations door-to-door. So what happens if you have a problem? Are they bringing ventilators, the last thing you want, but are they bringing medical equipment that might be necessary to treat every possible side effect? Obviously not. So that's a violation of what the FDA said was mandatory to have. I guess no one cares about that crime, right? Or does anyone care about that safety measure? Apparently not, because vaccine good no matter what, right? Who cares if you may die in 24 hours? We'll be gone, right? Door-to-door COVID-19 vaccinations. This is the kind of stuff that they're hiding from you by censoring information. And here's what I said about those previous two. I said, the reality is that the US and Chinese governments are just different kinds of the same authoritarian agenda. None of them want you to be able to honestly report on their actions. So they point at each other and censor what they want while screaming bad guy, like we're all 6 years old. But apparently it works on plenty of people because the two-party illusion is about a six-year-old level narrative. But this is the kind of alarming thing that's happening that they're trying to hide from you. This is January 22nd. I already showed you. Now, here is the update as of, it's also 22nd, but this is the newer one that I've seen. New Jersey COVID-19 court to knock on doors of unvaccinated at the shore this week. This is not a joke. Going door to door. You'll be shocked by what it says here. We're from the government and we're here to help you, which, by the way, is sort of a joke because that's what Reagan classically said. The scariest thing Americans can hear is, I'm from the government and we're here to help. Apparently, we forgot about that. And really, they just went, we'll just be the thing that we used to tell Americans was really dangerous that we didn't want to be. Right? Now, maybe that's because they wanted to lie to you back then. Or maybe they realized that their propaganda worked enough to where we don't know that anymore. Who cares, though, right? It says, get vaccinated. If you haven't been vaccinated and you live at the Jersey Shore, you can expect a state official to come knocking on your door this week. Okay, so they know you. So they know you're not vaccinated. Who cares about why? Who cares how, right? They're going to come to your door. It's part of a new COVID-19 vaccination drive announced by New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. We're not stopping, he says. Right, so they don't care that you've already had a choice and you've already said no. They don't care, right? As I keep telling you, no is not an option. You can only say yes or not right now. They're going to come back and they're going to keep pushing you until eventually they force. You don't have the right to say no. That's made apparent by the fact that they're continuing to spend your tax dollars to revamp their effort to ask you again and coerce you over here and stop you from doing this over here and say, oh, you can we ask you again? Like, you don't get to see, you've said no three times already, but they're not stopping. So you don't get to say no. I hope that's very clear. The door-to-door solicitors, according to the state, we will receive just 1 hour of online training before being sent out into the shore communities. Right, because that makes sense, right? As somebody said right here, yeah, they only need 1 hour of training to be able to explain new experimental technology. Right, because that makes perfect sense. No, it's about telling them the talking points they need to spit at you when they don't know anything about the actual technology. And it's not here, but man, I hope somebody, when these guys comes to my door, so I can just completely I will talk their ear off for the next 3 hours and show them the documentation until they walk away. Right? That would be a good time. An hour of training is enough to explain to you all the things that they clearly don't know, that the government's still investigating, that they're still finding out, that they just admitted myocarditis and all of this. Yeah, they won't even know this stuff. They're going to say, totally safe and effective, completely good, kids can get it, pregnant women, doesn't matter, you're all safe, this will save your life. That's it. That's what they're going to do. By the way, that's what they are doing. We have our COVID-19 community corps working door-to-door across a bunch of communities, municipalities, to make sure everybody not only has the facts, right, the facts you can somehow glean in 1 hour, they need to make the right decision about getting vaccinated, but that they know where to get vaccinated. Door to door, all right? And that was the point of this, just to be clear. This one is very clearly talking about at your door. So I question whether that's exactly what's happening here, and this was just misrepresented by the governor. But either way, it's coercive, it's manipulative, and it is invasive. And as this person also points out, Jerry Young, the fact that they seem to know who is unvaccinated is a big story here. They totally haven't been compiling a comprehensive database of the non-compliant, though. Carry on. Hashtag COVID-1984. Right. That's what is happening. That's a great point, right? This is the other side of pharmacovigilance, right? If they know everyone who has been manipulated into taking this, well, they also surely know those smart enough to say no, don't they? We are all surveilled. We should all know that by now. COVID is just increasing that wildly. So right now, they know who you are. They know that you said no, and this is completely documented. I mean, how else would they know what door to go to? And as I looked this up, just to see what, I wanted to find this tweet. Told you this was coming to a town near you. Door-to-door experimental unapproved injection coercion. How kind. But interesting that I had a couple other things that popped up down here that I said in the past. Let's get a little walk through history here, just, you know, brief. Back June 15th, way back then. Here's a tweet that says, okay, it's 9 p.m. in Toronto. Someone just showed up at my apartment trying to give me the vax, waving a lanyard and her photo ID and yelling, health department, through my window while knocking on it. I told her through the window to F off. Knocking on her window. When I shared this, people said, you're a fake news. That's not true. How do you even know? It's not real. Right? Well, here we are. Clearly it's real. Clearly it's happening all over the world. But people don't like to believe things until the media says that's true. Right? Fox told me, now I can believe it. Banging on her window. Does that sound like just kind of passing through to give you information? No, that is coercive. That is about manipulating you into getting what they want you to get until you get it. Also, going back to February 27th, totally not an apartheid state, coming to a U.S. town near you. Same thing. Fake news. You're fear-mongering. Oh, guess what? It happened. It's already here. We all see it. Here's the vaccinated section. Here's the unvaccinated section, right? Here you're allowed to go in, but here you're not. How many times do we need to say this? And how many times do they need to say it's not true? You're a fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorist. And how many times does it need to come to pass before people realize that this is something very obviously easy to point out? I'm not psychic. It's just obvious. And we have their history to point out, guys. Over and over. I mean, I've probably been calling things just because I think it might happen 100 times or more in this entire thing. And people come out and laugh. You're silly. You fake news. And it happens. It's amazing. Here's a great video from Tim Truth pointing this out. I want to play one thing. Here's just another clip. But this is happening in the UK. Coronavirus vaccine refused Nix face visit from the persuaders, right? So they know you've said no, and they're going to come to your door. This is already starting, guys, and it's not a secret. They just don't care. But I want you to hear what this woman has to say. Come on. Oh, I got to refresh it now. Hold on. Oh, come on. There we go.
I spoken thing there. California, and hear her story.
Hey, good morning. I believe that today is it's June 23rd. My husband called me kind of late last night. I'm in North Carolina helping my daughter with twins. My husband's home back in California. And the vaccine police came to our house last night. I am not joking. They wanted to know if my husband was vaccinated and if we had somebody under the age of 12 in our house. They asked that two times.
Why would they need to know? First of all, they know this information, right? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because they think they have like the families, like your daughter's daughter or something like that, like a granddaughter or something that might be there at the moment. But to twice ask if there's people 12 or younger in the house, what does that mean? Like, we know that right now they're claiming, even though it's wildly dangerous and all the scientific research shows this, that people under 30, in general, this thing's dangerous, in my opinion. But the idea that people under 12, they're claiming it's safe to take this injection. So what does that mean? What if there was somebody under 12? Does that change what they're going to try to do to you? I mean, this is incredibly alarming. But as she points out, they're taking down notes. They're notating what she says, right? As Tim points out in his video, obviously, that implies they're keeping some sort of database on people who are saying no.
My husband said he was the only one that lived there, and he asked how they came to our house. They said it was two women. They had lanyards and a clipboard. They said that our address came up as residents unvaccinated.
Their address came up as residents unvaccinated. This just, I mean, we don't need her video to point this out. The evidence from long before, Moncef Salawi discussing, as Whitney pointed out, the Oracle-involved pharmacovigilance system that was applied to the country. Not people in trials. The country. He made it very clear. Every single person being injected is being monitored for up to 2 years. We proved this. We showed you the documentation. It's happening right now. How else would they know all of this? Yet again. You know, we tried to warn everybody, and some of you paid attention, right? But now we are desperately trying to fight this back. But I believe that we have had an effort, guys, and that's why I do feel there's a positive spin to this today. But remember that they're going to pull back, but they're going to find another way to go forward. So we have to be on guard. Stay vigilant.
I don't even know what to say. I live in California. Gavin Newsom is my governor. Not by my choice, but this has got to. Hi, I'm going to do my best today to kind of respond to the very overwhelming response I've had to that video that I posted yesterday morning. I'm in Southern California. I'm not really comfortable saying where I am in Southern California as I just drove up in a regular small car. So actually my husband thought that they were Jehovah Witness ladies or Mormon ladies. We get those a lot in our neighborhood. And he said they were a little bit younger than myself. So it just looked like two gals like me knocking on the door. They had the lanyards around their neck and they had a clipboard. They were writing some stuff down as he was talking to them. Okay, so I'm responding to this. The person just
said, I think that's actually it. This is worth watching. Tim does a great job, and I hope you'll check out his content. She basically is responding to comments, you know, and they're saying, you know, that she didn't get the injection, right? There's no way they would know other than to just know everybody who's not. And I agree with that. And I think it's obvious that the pharmacovigilance system, I mean, it's not hard to figure out, right? They have a database on everybody. Birth certificates, I mean, it's all very clear. Everything, every person alive in this country, they can look up on a computer. We see that at the DMV, you know, whatever, anywhere they can look you up. Now there's more going on, right? We have passports and different things in regard to vaccines. This is information that's being cataloged. That's the point. And they're, you know, what makes me just in my mind, I always laugh about this, right? What I just said, there's probably someone in the chat right now listening or watching this going, what a conspiracy there is. But we literally just discussed the fact that Moncef Salawi has this Oracle involved that he set up with Trump, pharmacovigilance, right? I mean, this is an easy thing to look up. That very clearly discussed every single person monitored for 2 years that had this. All you have to do is reverse that, right? Who isn't on that list? Well, there you go. But she goes on to actually address some people being mean and, you know, like people are attacking her for simply sharing her story, which just continues to show you that this is a very obvious agenda. People have their own personal experiences and they're just sharing it with you. And people get really angry because that challenges what they believe. That's cognitive dissonance in real life. But again, just to reiterate, here's the Wall Street Journal telling you that there's politics involved, at the very least, in their opinion, predominantly involved in what decisions are being made around COVID-19, which is exactly what the WHO and the HHS and plenty of other people tried to tell you years ago, never stopped. Which brings us over into the continual problems that we're seeing because they don't care about that information. Now the CDC has actually confirmed mRNA jabs are linked to rare cases of heart inflammation in young men. Shocking, right? You mean the thing that we've known that we've been continuing to talk about this whole time? Yes. Now it's okay to talk about, right? Even though the information is no different. All they did was finally look at it and talk about it, right? Remember the CDC, like a week ago, said, we're an emergency meeting we're going to hold next week, right? That's what just happened, right? So they let a week go by, even though they let far, far much more time. They knew about this months and months and months ago. I argue they knew about this before this ever started. But they knew about this week, let it go. Now they come back and say, okay, now we might have it. So what about all the kids that got injected this whole time period? That violated informed consent because they didn't tell them. But so too does everything else they're doing. But here is the FDA adding a warning about rare heart. Rare, it's so rare. Oh, it's so rare. It's so ridiculous. It's a rare, extremely rare thing that we keep talking about, right? FDA to add warning. I don't mean we, T-Lab. I mean we, the mainstream media. FDA to add warning about rare heart inflammation to Pfizer, Moderna vaccines, right? How often do they add a big warning on something about a rare, uncommon thing? Right? In fact, they should always, which is what they're supposed to do, which is what they claim, but they don't usually. Well, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said on yesterday, it plans to move quickly, because it's obviously a big deal, but they don't want you to think it's a big deal, to add a warning about rare cases of heart inflammation in adolescents and young adults. Remember, the study we showed you went from 20 to 56, and it was pretty obvious there was an issue of heart myocarditis. To fact sheets for the BioPfizer. So you mean those fact sheets that are currently blank? Oh, great. Cool. Think about how stupid that is. The inserts for these injections are currently blank, but we'll go ahead and update that blank sheet with the information for how much dangerous this is. They are gaming everything. We're being deceived at every step of the way. The warning is going to get ignored by everybody except the people that watch our show. Now, yes, it's on Reuters, but they're going to briefly talk about this. They won't report this broadly. If this was something that was as important in the reverse, right, that suddenly we found out that these Moderna injections could cure cancer too, God, it would be everywhere. Well, you could argue that maybe it's way bigger, but the point is nonetheless, if it's something they agree with, they'll talk about it everywhere for 3 days. It'll be on every channel. But here's a really important thing that's important for you to know for your safety, and they'll maybe point it out once and never point it again. Well, here is on June 2nd, right? To show you how this continues to go, here's what Pfizer had to say. Well, it says Pfizer said in the statement that it was aware of the Israeli observations of myocarditis and said, oh, but there's no causal link to its vaccine has been established. So keep taking it, though, while we're not sure, right? Remember, that's been established. Here we are. It's been established. So they're going, I don't know for sure. Well, all the people like myself that said, well, we don't know for sure, so we are risking people and we don't know. It's dangerous. Oh, fake news. Well, we were right. Again, we were right. And we were right to say we don't know for sure because they haven't proven this. Yes, and now we're actually seeing it. So yet again, like that Australian clip play we showed you, saying, well, yeah, here we are. All those anti-vaccine people, all those hesitant people were right. Yep. The study found, quote, there's a probable link between receiving the second dose of the injection and the appearance of myocarditis. So even they admitted there was a probable link, but then said, we don't know for sure though, so keep taking it. According to the findings, such a link was observed more among men in this age group, but it says, however, the group also said data from other databases, vaccine safety database, did not show a rate that rates of myocarditis or pericarditis after COVID vaccination differed from expectations. How many times do we keep hearing that? The data from 9 healthcare organizations and can be used to compare vaccine populations to unvaccinated ones, which is what they never do. But remember this name, Dr. Paul Offit. That's important. Director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia said that parents should still vaccinate their kids because of the known risks. Oh, you mean the risks that we don't know that the Wall Street Journals and these two PhDs just openly admitted to the world? Right. So we don't know the risks. Okay. So why is Paul Offit arguing we know the risks? Because he's part of the agenda. You'll see Paul Offit referenced at any point where they need to reference some big flashy name, the director of Vaccine Education Center at the Hospital of Philadelphia, and he'll come in and be safe and effective. It's all safe and effective. We don't know for sure. That's this guy. And you'll see. He has wild conflicts of interest. They're kids because of the known risks, including, multi-system inflammatory syndrome. Okay, you mean that thing that hasn't been shown to be connected to what we're talking about? Yep. Here it is right here, MISC and COVID-19, as of today. We do not yet know what causes MISC. Weird. Wait a minute. So how is this guy saying that it causes it when we don't know it causes it? Isn't that a conundrum? Yeah, because he's lying to you. Or he's selling you a narrative that he believes because he's not informing himself. You pick for yourself, including this thing. Nope, not proven. Even the CDC, which is basically what you're citing. But he says the European Medicines Agency, EMA, said last week that heart inflammation after receiving Pfizer had been no cause for concern. As such, incidents, because, you know, they're similar rate to those in the general population. Oops. Which is what we keep telling you, they keep saying. Okay, well, so we had 9 cases in a row after 9 people got it. But because 9 is not over the general population amount, we're going to pretend like that's acceptable, even though it happened all in a string, in a cluster, in the same group, in one time. But because, you know, we get 30 a year, that's only 9, then we're good, right? No, that's a complete sidestep of the reality. Now, maybe over the process of a year, if it ended up being the same amount we get in a year, you can go like, okay, well, that could have just been natural. But what we're seeing is clusters, which is what the Wall Street Journal was pointing out. They're telling you these are alarming clusters of this is the kind of thing when you get the doctor that writes into the CDC and says, guys, half my crew is gone. All of them took it together. Most of them went out at the same time. Half of them haven't even been back yet. We are seeing alarming occurrence of these problems. How about the nurses that Derek wrote about, one of which had a miscarriage and they still forced them to take it? Right? They don't care about the correlation. All they go is, well, miscarriages happen, so you're who knows for sure, so take it anyway. Does that sound like science to anybody? That's in fact inherently unsafe because you don't know. They keep screaming, we know the risks and benefits. No, we don't, because we don't know, but we do it for sure. We don't know for sure. So how do you know the risks and benefits if you don't know for sure? It's just inherently contradictory. It added that at the time that young men were particularly prone to the condition. Paul Offit, right? Paul Offit. I'm going to jump to this now since this is the interesting part down here. Let me see what was next, actually. Okay, yeah, we'll get to that next. We have a couple more points about incidents that happened, but since we're talking about Paul Offit, you know, the guy being parroted all over the place about why this thing is safe and effective and everything's good for children, even though it's obvious the scientific research shows very clearly that we shouldn't be giving this thing to children, especially since they have a 0% risk and people under 25 have a 0.01% risk. So why would anybody, I mean, according to the full breadth of the data, even coming from The Lancet, people under 50 have basically no risk from this, even especially compared to the flu, with no comorbidities. I just showed you the recent study. Even their one from 2020 said the same thing. So the full breadth of the data, there's never been a case where people under that age should even be injected with something that has other risks. They know this. That's why these doctors in the Wall Street Journal are speaking up. That's why scientists around the world have been speaking up, people we've interviewed. And all they do is they dismiss them and call them crazy, which is exactly what they say right here. Right? That's the point. But the politics of vaccination has relegated their concerns to the outskirts of scientific thinking, despite the fact that it's based on the scientific research. You know, what they keep screaming at you to trust, even though they're not looking at it. Crazy. Here is a study. Super antigenic character of an insert unique to SARS-CoV-2 spike supported by skewed TRCCR repertoire in patients with hyperinflammation. Specifically talking about, yet again, the spike protein and what this is causing. This is very relevant to the MISC discussion. Now, what this seems to suggest, well, I was considering in the beginning the possibility this was the mask adding to this. But what we can easily point out now is that this spike protein that seems to be shedding, according to the experts, is being passed on to children, which is what we've already seen, according to the expert in regard to one of the creators or inventors of mRNA itself. Also speaking of, think about how crazy that is. We have the inventor of mRNA himself, or co, for that matter, on Twitter claiming, yes, it's obvious. This can shed through your sweat glands. It can very easily be picked up by other people. And he got censored for it, by the way, the inventor of mRNA. Then you've got the inventor of mRNA vaccine technology also telling you it's dangerous and you shouldn't take it. And both of them are being attacked. So who are we trusting exactly? Who are the experts here? The mainstream media? The government? Wouldn't the experts be the experts who created it? You'd think so, wouldn't you? But they're telling you clearly this thing's a problem. So what I'm thinking is that MISC is simply a side effect, an inflammation side effect of whatever this is causing, because it's similar to basically everything else we're seeing. It says a hyperinflammatory syndrome reminiscent of toxic shock syndrome is observed in severe COVID-19 patients, including children with multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, MISC, which they're right here completely claiming that this is caused by COVID-19. Remember, that's not the case. As of the latest information, the CDC is still telling you we do not know what causes this. We think it might be associated, even though they list it as MISC and COVID-19. But it says clearly they're investigating because they don't know. Associated, right? So they keep pushing this idea. Anyway, now it says TSS is typically caused by pathogenic, by the way, maybe that's because they know what's causing it, superantigen simulating excessive activation of the adaptive immune system. We show that SARS-CoV-2 spike contains sequence and structure motifs highly similar to those of a bacterial superantigen and may directly bind T cell receptors. That is very relevant. There's lots of discussions in HIV. There's a lot of things this could tie back to, but it says we further report a skewed T cell receptor repertoire in COVID-19 patients with severe hyperinflammation in support of such a superantigenic effect. Notably, the superantigen-like motif is not present in other SARS family coronaviruses. What does that seem to suggest? Which may explain the unique potential for SARS-CoV-2, or specifically the spike protein in that. That's the point, which is what they say in the article, to cause both MISC and the cytokine storm observed in adult COVID-19. Right, remember, they're saying this right here. This is not about SARS-CoV-2, it's about the spike protein which causes this. Therefore, the vaccine, the injection that creates that same thing and more than one of them and spread throughout your system, which we've shown many times on this show, as the research also shows that it spreads throughout your body. It's not a secret. Let's see. Nah, I don't want to waste time on finding that. I forget where I put it. But that's the one we've shown many times. 11 of 13 people in the study were found to have the spike protein present in their blood within an hour. An hour. It's all out there to find. The media doesn't care or doesn't want to look at all. Or doesn't want to hide it from you. Right? So this is passing around through your blood. And they know this. And the spike protein is what's causing this stuff. So inflammation is obviously what we're talking about here. So are we simply passing this off to children? Is this not what we're talking about in regard to all the different things? We talked about self-amplifying, self-spreading. These are all very real topics that have been studied by Johns Hopkins and plenty of other research by the NIH and on and on and on. Here we have another example of why that very thing could be causing exactly what we're talking about. But back to this. Oh, wait a minute. That wasn't the one. Oh, if I miss that, it's going to frustrate me. Oh, it's right there. Okay, good. I'm going to jump to this. Well, it's the same kind of idea. So we're talking about the CDC, right? So Paul Offit's over here telling you safe and effective for kids specifically, right? That's what the big push is because we're talking about the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Well, here is from lawfirms.com. CDC members own more than 50 patents connected to vaccinations. Yeah, because that's not a conflict of interest at all, right? John F. Kennedy, RFK Jr. has talked about this more than once. I've talked about this, the reality that they are profiting from the very thing they're supposed to enforce. It says the CDC Immunization Safety Office is responsible for investigating the safety and effectiveness of all new vaccinations. Once an investigation is considered complete, a recommendation is then made to the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, the ACIP, who then determines whether the new vaccine will be added to the current vaccine schedule. Right, so this committee are people that are deciding whether these new vaccines get given to your children. Members of the ACIP committee include physicians such as, what do you know, Dr. Paul Offit. Oh, isn't that weird? So he works with, or you could argue for, the CDC, deciding what vaccines will be given. Ah, before we even get into his profit motive, don't you think that should be divulged? Wouldn't you think that that should be said when you have a guy who's arguing why the injections that he's profiting from and suggesting are okay for children? And they use him in the article to argue why they should be okay for children? Don't you think they should let you know, oh, by the way, this guy gets money from the sale of those injections he's pushing? Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But not in the current journalism out there today. No, they don't care about the old classic integrity, you know, pillars of, you know, two sources and, you know, citing their conflicts of interest. Nope, they just blandly cite anonymous sources from the government and use paid conflicts of interest all the time. But let's keep going. Physicians such as Dr. Paul Offit, who also serves as the chief of infectious diseases at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Weird. Offit and other CDC members own numerous patents associated with the vaccinations and regularly receive funding for their research work from the very same pharmaceutical companies who manufacture vaccinations which are ultimately sold to the public. Oh, crazy. So Paul Offit owns patents for the very things that he's pushing. Isn't that interesting? Not at all, really. It's pretty scary because it shows you that the media is complicit, even places like Reuters, in selling you the narrative from people that are involved in that narrative. This situation creates an obvious conflict of interest. You would think they'd want to tell you that if they were honest, as members of the ACIP committee benefit financially every time a new vaccination is released to the market. They benefit every single time. So let me think about that. Maybe that's why we went from like 5 to like 35 vaccines for children in, you know, in the first so many years. Maybe that's why they randomly increased them incredibly without testing them with each other. Maybe it's because they make money every time they do it. Nah, that wouldn't make that happen, would it? Each of the 12 members of the CDC's ACIP, including Paul Offit, has a significant influence on the health of every member of American population because they are responsible for adding to and or altering the national vaccine schedule. It is of critical importance that they remain objective and unbiased before determining whether a new vaccine is appropriate for use, particularly in the bodies of vulnerable young children. Right. So you know what immediately makes that not the case anymore? When they have profit motives in regard to which they're deciding on. So you're no longer objective or unbiased if you have a choice between something you can make money on and something you can't make money on, which is what's happening. I wonder if he chose the ones he makes money on. What do you think? Unfortunately, a significant number of ACIP committee members receive direct financial returns when more vaccinations are added to the current schedule. Many own vaccination-related patents and or stock shares of the pharmaceutical companies responsible for supplying new vaccines to the public. You know, like Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna. Others receive research grant money, funding for their academic departments, or payments of the oversight of vaccine safety trials, which is what we just showed you the other day. The listing of all the conflicts of interest in that study, where every single one of the people on that study that were claiming that children are at risk, were all getting money directly from Pfizer and the NIH. And they, you know, they included that, of course, but most people don't know that. Long list of patents owned by these people, including Paul Offit. Just so we're clear on that. And of course, there are patents on exactly all the stuff we're talking about today. All of it. Right? But who cares? You don't know that because the media doesn't care to tell you, which is what they pretend their job is. And this is what happens while they hide that from you. Disturbing and mysterious death of 18-year-old Camilla, after vaccine. AstraZeneca's jab stops in Italy for young people. So they stopped the injections for young people in Italy because of this. And guess what? Nobody told you that in the mainstream media. The tragic and untimely death of an 18-year-old girl from Italy, which occurred due to a very serious cerebral hemorrhage from thrombosis about 2 weeks after the AstraZeneca vaccine. Remember, these things are being shown to be far more prominent in the mRNA injections. That's why the Wall Street Journal article was talking about only the mRNA injections. That's why right now they're putting a warning on specifically the mRNA injections, the two we're using. Now, I tried to find the clip, by the way. You'll probably remember, I just thought of this today. Early on when they were deciding which ones were going to happen, do you remember what I said? I said, I can promise you that the two vaccines that will be used in this country will be Moderna and Pfizer. Apparently, I'm just psychic, right? No, it's because it's obvious if you have eyes to see which ones have financial ties to people in power, like Fauci or the people working underneath him who also have patents in regard to what the technology is working on, or any number of examples we've already shown you. The crossover between people like Moncef Salawi or other people that have obvious crossovers. So I said, well, it's pretty clear. Now, I could have ended up being wrong, but what do you know? I ended up being right. Pfizer and Moderna. Weird, right? Also because they'll just so happen to be both the mRNA vaccine technologies that are obviously the agenda, nanotechnology and all the things they're using, right? Obviously. But recognize how interestingly prescient, I mean, how was the right word for it? You know, we see this happening. It's not me alone. There's plenty of people. Like James Corbett is an expert at this. Being able to look at past examples, trends, and predicting what they're going to do. Because as we keep pointing out, they're pretty clumsy lately in general. Like I always joke, they've got play one, two, and three, right? What are we going to do this time? Are we going to fake them shooting protesters? Are we going to starve them to death until they fight back and we blame it on their government? Or are we just going to bomb them and claim somebody else did it? Or, you know, like very clumsy, basic things they repeat over and over in different ways, right? It's pretty obvious to see. That's funny, I lost my thread there. I'm dancing back and forth. But the point is that all of this is continuing to happen. And nobody's telling you this stuff. Right? Now, Pfizer's worse than the rest of them. Moderna's worse than the rest of them. But they're not telling you this. People are continuing to be hurt. Italy stops it from everybody under 60. It says the storm in the Mediterranean's Bel Paese was triggered by the death of Camilla Canepa, an 18-year-old girl from Seto, from, I will say Italy, from Genoa, who had been vaccinated by joining the open day organized by the region of Liguria to encourage the immunization campaign among young people. Exactly. So she got coerced by a campaign making her feel like she's doing the right thing, right? She's doing the right thing for my grandma, and she dies. Right. So who cares if that was one of the hundreds of thousands or not, or it's half of them. It doesn't matter. She had a right to know that, and she didn't. And that's a crime. The people out there going, it's only one person out of a bunch. So what happened to we care about every life? We're all safe until everybody's safe, but then suddenly her life is not important because she's only one. The mystery of her death from thrombosis, which falls within the possible rare severe adverse reactions recognized by the British Swedish Big Pharma of Cambridge itself, is deepened after the news of an alleged pathology of the girl reported by the Italian news agency was actually denied by a family lawyer. So the family lawyer says, that's not true. That's not what happened. And you want to know why I'm pretty certain that that's a political stance? Because they don't want the family and her supported the injection and don't want this to be used for vaccine hesitancy. Why? Well, because the doctor himself is on the record saying that this is horrific. It's really bad. Listen for yourself. What the doctor is telling you is scary about what's going on in this person's brain. And this is the same girl we're talking about.
Her in attempts to save her life said even what he saw shocked him.
I had never seen a brain reduced in those conditions by a thrombosis so extensive and so severe. All the venous sinuses were obstructed by thrombi, a scenario I had never seen in my many years in this profession. From the picture I saw that girl's head, it is clear we are facing something not normal.
Wow. Now, I got to be honest, like, there's a lot of things I've heard, like, just that being stated so clearly and such a shock by this San Martino Hospital neurosurgery unit director. That's a scary thing to hear. I mean, you hear what they're saying? I mean, that every single, I mean, look at, let's go back to the first part of it. Come on. Jeez. Okay, what's happening here? Here it is. Never seen a brain reduced in those conditions by a thrombosis so extensive, so severe. All the venous sinuses. All these veins, all of them were obstructed by thrombi. I mean, that is crazy. That's not normal, and that's what he's telling you. This is a scary reality. What he's telling you is based on what he just saw, this woman's brain completely just, I don't even know how to describe it, you know, just blocked up in every possible area, and that's why she died. That just can't be natural. This is being caused by something, and the point is the lawyer, the family, they whether they're saying, no, it wasn't the vaccine, or that's not even true, the doctor is telling you it is. The doctor who looked at her is going, this is crazy, caused by the injection. And that's why the entire country, Italy, stopped the entire thing for anybody under 60. God knows why they would give it to anybody.
Reduced in those. I had never seen a brain reduced in those conditions by a thrombosis so extensive and so severe. All the venous sinuses were obstructed by thrombi. A scenario I had never seen in my many years in this profession. From the picture I saw that girl's head, it is clear we are facing something not normal.
Now, the EMA is consistently re-reviewing AstraZeneca, updating its advice on possible side effects in the last...
Jeez. Re-reviewing, right? Let's just go back over it again for the 15th time so we can go, we don't know for sure. Yeah, benefits outweigh the risks. Yeah, shocking. Let's bet on what they actually end up saying. And that's what they said about the myocarditis. That's what they said about the anaphylactic shock. That's what they said about the thrombosis. That's what they said about every single one of these things that, shocker, turned out to be true. And every single one of them we told you was true based on the scientific research and were censored for up until Tucker talked about it. Then it was okay to talk about, right? Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. They're putting your child and your children, your family, they're putting your grandma at risk by pretending that they're keeping her safe. Nashville woman partially paralyzed after rare COVID vaccine reaction walks again, which is good news. We've talked about her in the past, Brandi Parker McFadden, and it's nice to hear that she's actually pushing her way through the vaccine injury that was forced upon her by our government. But here's what happened. Brandi received a message from Facebook that she had been censored because she shared her news interview, the one we just showed you, this one, right? This is an interview. Or this is the story for specifically, this is covering that interview, specifically with ABC, shares it. WKRN, local ABC affiliate, interviews her, shares it. Facebook censors her, saying false ad fraud. Can't even get, it's the same thing. They've broken their algorithms, right? Because it's like YouTube saying impersonation. What do we do? We don't even know what's going on. Like, they can't have the truth out there. Here's what this medical doctor points out. Imagine how you would feel if you were Brandi. This is absolutely stunning. Her story should not be silenced. Her story is not false advertising, fraud, or a security breach. We have lost our way. We lost it a long time ago. We being the government. Not, I shouldn't even say it like that. They're not we, but that's my point. They have lost their way a long time ago. So I have it up here. Let me just read her thing first. So received a message from Facebook that she's been censored because she shared her news interview about having COVID-19 last November. And then her Pfizer shot in April and was hospitalized from it. None of that is inaccurate. She had it, so she says. So she was told. She got the injection, which we know is dangerous in every possible way, including after the injection, and was hospitalized from it because that's what happened to her. So, and I love what she says here. So I guess Facebook believes in silencing women, right? What up? But trust women, right? Facebook, trust women. How dare you? What about Kavanaugh? You trust women, right? You were all about that when that was going on. Now you don't care about that because that was just an agenda at the time too, wasn't it? She's making this point to make it, silencing women because it's, we care about that no matter what, except when our narratives are being challenged, right? But they challenge. They said they censor her information. The article from ABC. Actually, this is the right one. This is WKRN. Anyway, the point is going forward, as I said, so this woman does an interview about her personal experience with COVID-19 and the injection on ABC, and Facebook censors it, which makes my point. This is not about misinformation. This is about anything that goes against the narrative. You are all being deceived. We are all being deceived. And as somebody jumps in and points out, it's probably an algorithm. Stuff gets stuck in it sometimes. It happens. Her story was told. It was actually reported by the news, as evidenced in her article. Her issue was also reported to Pfizer. So what's your point? What do you want? A bigger splash? Jesus, talk about missing the point. Good God. give him a little gif here to make sure he understands what he just did. Why isn't that playing? There it goes. The point being here, guys, it's not, he's not, nobody's saying that it's the, so what he's arguing here is that because somebody saw it, because it got talked about, that it's okay that the government censors it? It's okay that social media censors this? Like, do you realize how broken that is? Censorship is wrong. She's saying something true. Facebook is censoring it. How do you not realize? That's the point. So because it was talked about over here, it's okay that Facebook censors factual information? Like, get a clue, man. That's, it's just so frustrating that people that are here just constantly trying to argue for their own censorship. People like this are the very people actually arguing for their own subjugation. And then when they get censored, they would flip out like Jordan Sheridan and be like, oh my God, how dare you censor me, even though he was just calling for the censorship of people January 6th. It's ridiculous. Well, here is what's continuing to happen because of people like this acting like it's okay that they got censored for sharing exactly things like this. Right? Here is Fred Pye telling you what he's living through. Please, guys, I'm suffering and trying to spread awareness. These videos of me are hard to share, but if I can keep one person from getting this poison, then my job as a test subject was done. Please, please, please do not get vaccinated. God, that's hard to watch. I don't know if you guys can hear him crying, but it's, that is pretty, I mean, gosh darn it. It's a grown man just weeping because of how uncontrollable this is. Because he's just, because you know what it is? Who knows when this is going to end? Am I going to live like this the rest of my life for doing something the government told me was safe and effective? I don't know how many times I have to say this, guys. One person is too much for something that they're not at risk from, for something that nobody is really at risk from the way that they're telling them they are. This is crazy. This is, by the way, this is exactly like 1976, the neurological side effects and everything we're talking about. Now, by the way, I pushed this off today just because I didn't want, for interest of time, but I have a whole part in here we're going to get to about the odd rising neurological disease, weird neurological disease, weird mysterious brain disease, you know, weird symptoms that we can't explain, neurological problems. Oh, you mean like Guillain-Barré syndrome that's already been confirmed to be associated with vaccination of COVID-19? Yep. Right? June 10th, German Institute confirmed Guillain-Barré syndrome occurred at an increased rate after AstraZeneca vaccinations. These are neurological problems. But yet we're over here going, weird, unexplainable neurological problems that we can't figure out. Yeah, that you don't want to associate with the obvious. It makes you want to punch a hole in the wall, right? These people are suffering because of your sycophant nature of the mainstream media. It kills me. People like this who could have made an informed decision had he been told this was possible. How we have nurses seeing Bell's palsy and people shaking still to this day. Del Bigtree interviewed three of them that are still struggling with it. And we keep telling them, fake, we don't know for sure. They just had it and it probably would have happened anyway. Like, so they're allowed to state it could have been happened. It probably would have happened naturally. How do you have any evidence to prove that? Because you don't want to assume it's the embassy. It's not okay when we make that kind of argument, but they can't all the time. Erring on the side of this is safe no matter what. He follows up saying, spread awareness, please. Share the S out of my flare-ups due to the vaccine. This has to be known. Look at what it does to you. Why would you want your people like this? Why? Moderna, thank you. You did an amazing job protecting me.
His blood pressure is good.
Ah, son of a gun.
Pressure is good.
How you doing, Fred?
Scared.
Yeah, I understand that.
He said he's scared.
Sounds like it's, or looks like you're kind of coming down a little bit, which is good. I'm going to put a bunch of stickers on you and take a good look at your heart, okay?
Looking at his
that's
heart.
That's all good. Is anything being coughed up when you cough there? Is it dry?
No. I couldn't fucking breathe, man. I thought I was dead.
Yep, no problem.
He said he could, I don't know if it's hard to hear, but he could barely talk. And he said I could barely breathe. And by the way, anybody else notice he's got a damn mask on his face? That's fantastic. Great doctor. I can't breathe. Let's put a mask on your face. Well done. Well done, mainstream.
How old are you, Brad?
39.
39 years old.
Yeah, those on
the
wall?
Yep, they're good.
I don't know if they're going
to
see much of the water
right
at
that. Yeah. Looks regular though, at least.
God. You know, it's like I just, you know, it's, there's a part of this, just I can't help but feel that, like, you know, that, like, we let him down. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it's hard. You know, you can't take on everything in the world. You know, you can't win every battle. But it's like, God, it's just like maybe we just had one more show. This person would have known. I would have seen. It would have saved this problem. God knows what he's got to deal with the rest of his life. Now, on top of that, make sure you understand that right this moment, they're already working and they have already been working on an endless list of more injections based on this new experimental technology before we've even approved any of these. Even while we're seeing these things get studied and canceled and suspended and paused because of injections and problems that we didn't realize that we're just investigating now, but we're already in the works of making 45 other injections like this. Does that make any sense? Unless the only reason that makes sense is if you know that this was always the agenda, regardless of what you'd find out in the process. Here's Impressionist pointing this out, and I have the document right here. Well, actually, let's just look at the document itself. Thank you for sharing this. Here is the actual document. And this is from April 20th, 2020, guys. 2020. These are the candidate. This is draft of landscape of COVID-19 candidate vaccines from the WHO. This is from the WHO.int. Just take a look. Non-replicating, right? DNA, inactivated, RNA, right? All of these, RNA, non-replicating, DNA, these are all the spike protein producing experimental injections, all of which are causing catastrophic problems right now that they're trying to hide from you. Here's more based on the, look, and but the point was, all of these are platform-based injections. This is the point. This is the direction they're going. Now, why are we revolutionizing medicine, in their opinion, in the middle of a pandemic? Does that make sense to anybody? What about the other things? Why aren't we even using these anymore? We're just jamming into platform-based mRNA, nanotechnology-based landscape because that's what we've always planned for the last 20 years. And the COVID-19 was either the excuse or we created it to make it happen. Who cares? Because we're going to alter evolution in 20 years using nanotechnology. So they told us in 2002. Here we are. EU tells us we'll have vaccine passports in 2021, 2022. Here we are. They told you that in 2018. How could they possibly know that? This is the plan, guys. As I keep showing you, just like we talked about from the Carnegies and the Rockefellers right here back in the beginning, what was it, the exact date? I forget now, but you know, back in the last century, in, as I call, the true history of deceit within the rise of Western medicine. This is when they used the Flexner Report, co-opted the American Medical Association, and drove medicine into a petrochemical-based system, which is where we remain today. Which is why all you still use is petroleum-based pharmaceuticals. That's what they did. Even though Rockefeller himself continued to use a homeopath till the day he died, despite the fact that he went around and shut down all the homeopathic medicines, medical outlets or locations, because that was a problem to his business. But yet he used one till the day he died. Sound like we're dealing with today, right? They use something, you know, one law for you, what is it? Law for thee and not for me, or whatever what the statement is. The point is they hijacked your medical system in this country, and the world for that matter, and they drove in the direction that profited their businesses. The point is, guess what's happening again today? And not just businesses, by the way, much more nefarious things around that. And again, guess what's happening today? The same thing. This is the history of deceit within the rise of Western medicine, part two. And maybe I should write an article about that and follow up on this, because that's exactly what's happening today. This is where we are. This is part two. And this is your new system, your new mRNA nanotechnology platform-based medical system, where all they need to do is pump in the new data and they pump out a new injection. We don't need any safety trials. That's their own statement. Clearly, that's working well, isn't it? And clearly, we can trust these people like Paul Offit to tell us the truth about things that they're profiting from, right? Clearly not. Finally, to wrap this up, I want to point out something that Denny Rancourt pointed out, which is this individual. I'm not even sure how to pronounce her name. Teresa Tam, I guess that's what the general. So basically, this is her. You can see her. This is for people, those not in Canada. If you're in Canada, you'll know who this is. If you're not in Canada, This is the one of the, this is the leading, the top doctor. This is the Fauci of Canada, basically, right? Canada's top doctor is a Hong Kong-born success story. So this is Denis Rancourt pointing out. We can't, it's weird, I just forgot the first. So Theresa Tam is certified with the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, and her address of address of practice is Ontario, and here's the link right here. So you can look at the information. Now, his point in showing you this is what he says here. And he goes on in the thread in general, saying that the certificate is conditional. Tam may practice only in the areas of medicine in which Dr. Tam's is educated and experienced. Okay. Then you might assume as the top doctor, well, she must be experienced in COVID-19 or immunology, virology or something, right? Nope. Specialist certifications are under the purview of the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada. Tam is not certified in, quote, public health and preventative medicine, which is an RCPCS specialty. Okay, so wait a minute. What he says is, so, only peer-reviewed articles count, and medical doctors are not allowed to speak in COVID-19 clown world, but public health officers like Tam do not need to be certified in the medical specialty in which they're controlling? Like, do you realize how crazy that is? She's not even, like, understand what this is saying. She's not even, and the point is her actual certificate says very clearly that she may only practice in areas which she's experienced and educated. She is not experienced and educated in public health and preventative medicine, according to her own documentation. Isn't that telling? So his point is, we're only allowed to look at the things you tell us to. Doctors can't even speak, but your specialist who's enforcing this stuff is not even allowed to talk on this stuff. I mean, and by the way, I'll even add, it's not even only peer-reviewed. You can share peer-reviewed studies that they disagree with, and they'll still dismiss it. They'll say, oh, that was that one doctor we just been debunked, or whatever. It's not even just peer-reviewed. It's only what they agree with, but his point still stands. This is where we are. This is incredible. How is this person, or a person like Fauci, even in charge in their position? When it's obvious, you know why, in my opinion? Because they're the people that can be manipulated, right? Fauci is an agenda-driven person. Politics drive his decisions, in my opinion. I would argue the same with this person right here. And that's why we're seeing this. Which is why we have things like this happening. When you got the Faucis and the Wongs, Theresa Tams in position, who are all about politics, well, they use politics, right? And in the process, exposing to you that you're being lied to, that it's not serious. Right? So we're all going to die and it's the biggest thing ever. We're all locked down and we're all in trouble. Can't let it resurface. Delta variant. Oh my God. Except when it comes to, you know, supports, to sports and things that the government want to support. VIPs to let into England without quarantine. Oh, of course, it's to keep the Euro finals in Wembley. Okay. So that's more to keeping the Euro finals in Wembley is apparently more important than stopping the next pandemic. Here's a good example. Obviously, that's not what I think. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe any of this is actually what they're saying it is. But you see, that's what their point is. But see, somebody could have misconstrued that as me arguing the next pandemic is coming. But you see, this is what people can't grasp when they only listen to one side of a narrative, two-party illusionists. You have to argue from within their narrative to show that they're lying, right? They're telling you that this is going to happen. We're all going to die. Wear your mask, social distance. You have to quarantine when you come in from these places or it's going to happen. We're all going to resurge and we have to, pandemic two is coming. Oh, but wait, Wembley. Okay, those guys are good, though. Because we need Wembley, don't we? Like, really? How does anybody still think this is real? So, it's the biggest pandemic in a century, and our actions are putting everybody at risk, including your grandma. Unless the government doesn't want to miss out on Wembley, right? Then all the concerns just go out the window. Got it. Because this is so obviously real and dangerous. This is the mainstream media. Delta variant. That's the mainstream media. That is exactly what they're doing. And that is why. There it is. That is why none of this is getting to your view unless you watch a show like this, unless you watch the independent media. Because it's just, I mean, I'm just baffled. I actually just messaged this to Denis Rancourt when he sent me that today. I've never in my life seen it this obvious. And I've said that more than once, right? It's just so plainly clear. If you can have somebody like Tam in charge who doesn't even have the right to be leading those discussions, we need to see how broken this all is. And they are just reeling, apparently, or they just don't care anymore. We need to see how clear this is. And it's just about us. Again, like Corbett said, this stops when we stop it. So stop it. Stand up and stop this. Put your foot down. Show people what's going on. Show people that they are allowed to speak up on these things and they're not the minority. Show them that they're the majority and they just don't see it because they're blindly listening to the mainstream media. And it's time to shift this direction. And what we're doing, what you're doing, is changing everything. So don't stop, right? Stay the course. We are now in a winning state. We just need to keep pushing it, right? They are on the run right now. And that's very obvious with everything going the other direction right now. Every little thing we've been talking about being censored for is trickling back out right now. We can't lose control of that. We need to keep fighting for the reality and don't act like them. Be better than them. They're going to try to trip you up. They're going to try to drip out these narratives that have nothing to back them up, that seem like exactly what we want to think, but that are based on absolute false information so they can spin back around and say, see, they're all fake news conspiracy theorists. Be smart. Question everything, including things you think are accurate, right? Including me. Question everything. Thank you all for being here, inspired every day by every single one of you. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.